Blog Talk Radio.
This is Revelations Radio News with Andrew Hoffman and Tim Kilkenny.
Sunday, August 5th, 2012. This is Revelations Radio News. Andrew, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How do I sound?
It was a little rough at first, but sounds good now.
Sounds good now? All right. So you guys kind of hot over there? All right. I don't know. I think that you might be the culprit here. I can barely hear you. You're kind of cutting in and out. Are you on the phone or?
Yep. Phone.
All right. Well, yeah. Hopefully, I don't know if we can monitor the chat room and see how you sound, but yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, yeah, it's funny. It's over 100 degrees everywhere else in the country. It's like 113 or something like that. And I see your 113 degrees and raise you 92 with no air conditioning.
Oh, no AC, huh? That is kind of rough.
You guys have AC over there in Wenatchee? Or Yakima?
Wenatchee. Oh, yeah.
No, oh, wow.
We've got modern civilization over here. I don't know what's going on the west side. But.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here in the Puget Sound area, it's only hot just a few days a year, so very few people actually have air conditioning in the Seattle area. So. All right. Well, should we get right into it? There's a bunch of stories in here that I wanted to touch on, but most of them we can go through pretty quick, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of stories, but most of them shouldn't take too much time. Wherever you want to start, man, lead us off.
All right, I'll lead us off. Let's see here. Where do I want to go? Well, this one baffles the mind, so why not start here? This is from thinkprogress.org, and it's how did 21-year-old Chavis Carter get shot in the head while handcuffed in a police car? Police in Jonesboro, Arkansas, have launched an investigation into how 20-year-old Chavis Carter was shot in the back of a patrol car Saturday night. Carter, who died at the hospital, was in the passenger seat of a pickup truck that was pulled over by the police just before 10 p.m. According to Officer Keith Baguette, who was on the scene, Officer Ron Marsh found some marijuana and several new plastic baggies when he searched Carter. When they ran the information through dispatch, they found he was wanted on a warrant in Mississippi where he lived. The cops handcuffed him, searched him again, and put him in the back of their patrol car. While Baggett searched the vehicle, he claims he heard a loud thump with a metallic sound on his trunk and saw Marsh motion to him. The thumping noise, according to the cops, was Carter shooting himself in the head. The police report attributed death to a self-inflicted gunshot, though when the two officers opened the squad car door, they found Carter's hands were still cuffed behind his back. The gun, they said, was somehow missed in both searches. Any given officer has missed something on a search, be it drugs, a knife, razor blades. This instance, it happened to be a gun, Jonesboro Police Sergeant Lyle Waterworth said after the bizarre incidents. The police believe that Chavez may have managed to pull out a hidden gun and shot himself in spite of the handcuffs. Carter's mother, Teresa, however, suspects foul play. I think that they killed him. My son wasn't suicidal. According to Teresa, Carter called his girlfriend while he was pulled over to tell her he'd call her from jail. She said her son was shot in the right temple when he was left-handed. The two officers are now on administrative leave until the investigation concludes. What's that? Your audio is really bad.
Okay, I don't know what to do about it.
Okay. Okay, but what are you saying, Ron?
I was saying that, I mean, clearly the police officers did nothing wrong. I can't see how anyone would suspicious of that incident. I think the man's mother is, must be a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, she clearly is a conspiracy theorist, yeah. I've had the unfortunate privilege of sitting in the back of a police car with my hands cuffed by my back, and there are several factors at play that would keep you from being able to do anything. And one of them, of course, is your hands are cuffed behind your back, and that, you know, unless you're a contortionist, makes it pretty hard. And another one is the seat. It's not like a regular seat. It's like a plastic, I don't know how to explain it, kind of like a plastic little dent, you know, like a little bowl shape. So you're it's like designed to keep you immobile so that you can't like move around or do anything. And there's really just no, it's just unbelievable. There's no way. And it just seems like this sort of thing is just a snapshot of what, you know, takes place on a regular basis here in the U.S.
Yeah, I have no idea what the motivation for them shooting him would be, and then why they couldn't come up with the only thing that makes me think it is something weird rather than something, you know, where they just killed someone and then covered it up, is it's such a horrible cover story, you know?
Yeah.
Like plant the gun on him and say he tried to shoot you just like they do with everyone else, you know? I don't understand why you would stick with that story, but I don't know. But, yeah, hopefully justice is done in that case.
In some way. Yeah, I don't know either. Your audio just improved like tenfold, so I don't know what magical thing you've done, but keep it up.
Absolutely nothing.
All right, good deal. So looks like Governor Inhofe of Oklahoma was pretty panicked about the whole global warming situation this week.
Yeah, I don't know who he is, but I know Senator Inhofe was.
Oh, yeah, okay,
but,
my fault.
But it was just it's a good transition because our first story came from Think Progress. And then in this case, Think Progress ran what was basically a hoax story claiming that global warming was melting the street lights. And then as it turned out, it happened via dumpster fire. So maybe it's not global warming after all.
It comes from my own stomping grounds down there in Oklahoma City. Yeah, but yeah, there's – oh, my gosh. You know, streetlights melting away. Oh, global warming. There's no end to the global warming claims, right? It's the earthquake in Haiti. It was global warming. The tsunami. It was global warming. Here we go. Streetlights melting. Must be global warming. Although, dumpster fire caught on camera the night before, right near the streetlights. So that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one because it's. I mean, if the sunlight is hot enough to melt streetlights, it's hot enough to melt your skin. So everyone in that town would be walking around with their skin melting off of them. So you would have thought that would have maybe raised a little bit of skepticism before attributing it to global warming and saying, Haha, Senator Inhofe, this proves how wrong you were the whole time. Oh, but as it turns out, they're foiled again.
There you go. And anything, you know, anything and everything will be called global warming until carbon tax. I don't know what the end game is. Somebody
well,
should
I
call
kinda,
Al Gore and ask him.
Yeah, I thought they had given up on the calling it global warming and we're moving to climate change and then biological diversity. But I guess since it's hot again, they're like, oh, let's go back to global warming.
yeah. Well, it's hot. It's the summertime, so now it's global warming. But in the wintertime, it's just climate change. In the winter, it snows more often and is clearly colder. Let's go back to climate change.
There you go. So,
where to next?
Well, we don't really have a logical transition point.
All right, I'll try and handle the logical transition since we have such varied stories in here. Here's a quick one. This is in reference, I guess, to the first story. The founder of CopBlock faces 21 years in prison for wiretapping charges. And this comes from activist posts. According to court documents, Adam, what's up?
I was going to say, so he must have, like, broke into people's houses and
tapped
their phones and things?
Like the CIA does, you know, like where you, you know, like the like the FBI does in the movies from the 60s, you know, they break in and you distract him, and I'll put a wire in the overhead light. But no, it wasn't quite that insidious. Do you want to go ahead and read this one?
Sure. According to court document, Adam Ademo Mueller, journalist and co-host of nationally syndicated radio talk show Free Talk Live, which is syndicated here in Yakima, has been indicted on 3 counts of felony wiretapping. The charges are a result of a vlog Mueller posted on copblock.org about an incident involving alleged police misconduct, which featured recorded interviews of on-duty public officials. Mueller's report focused on video recorded by a student cell phone at Manchester's West High School, which depicted Officer Darren Murphy slamming a 17-year-old boy into a cafeteria table in October of 2011. Although public officials told the students to delete the video, it ended up in Adam Mueller's hands instead. The case states that after viewing the footage, Mueller called the Manchester Police Department and West High School seeking comment. Mueller recorded his interviews with the on-duty public officials and then included them in a video report on copblock.org that publicized the allegedly excessive use of police force at the high school. The story went viral. Several months later, the indictments came. 3 felony counts of wiretapping. A public official who is on duty and in a public space has no expectation of privacy. The First Circuit Court of Appeals has already ruled on this on Glick versus Cunnett, said Ian Freeman, Free Talk Live co-host. The person who should face consequences is the officer who threw that poor kid into a table during lunch at the school cafeteria, not the journalist who reported about it. That just makes too much sense. According to New Hampshire state statutes, in order to be guilty of wiretapping another party, must have a reasonable expectation that their communications are not subject to interception. Court records indicate that jury selection for Mueller's trial is scheduled for 9 a.m. on Monday, August 6th at Manchester Superior Court. Supporters are anxiously awaiting the trial, which will be one of the first examples of an activist being tried by a fully informed jury in New Hampshire. The state recently passed a new jury nullification law that requires judges to allow defense attorneys to inform jurors of their right to vote their conscience and nullify bad laws via not guilty verdicts. Free a demo protests are already being planned, and the media will definitely be invited, Freeman said. Hundreds of people have called, emailed, and shown their support via social media. The video has gone viral. Jury nullification is a real possibility, and we have an extraordinary opportunity here to send a message to the police that the people of New Hampshire will stand up for their rights. So what do you think? I think you walk. Way to take a jury trial.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that it's you know, there's a lot of reasons to put this in here. First off, did you watch the video where the police officer slams the kid who had his sister's purse?
No, I did not.
Yeah, well, I just explained it. He slams the kid who has a you know, kid like stole his sister's purse like as a joke. I mean, the teacher tried to come and confiscate it. And he said, no, no, it's okay. It's my sister's. I'll give it back to her later. Because she, you know, went to lunch or, she, or they were at lunch and she went to class or something. And he's, they were like, no, you have to give it to us. And he wouldn't do it. And so they went and got the police. And the police, like, come over like, hey, you got to give me the, you know, the purse. And he's like, no, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I don't even remember if they got it or didn't, but they started to walk away and the kid said something smart to him. And the cop just turned around and grabbed him, picked him up and slammed his head on the table and, like, arrested him. And the whole time this incident is being filmed by another student. And there's this lady in the background just saying over and over again, you can't film here. You can't film this. You can't film here. You can't film this. And he was like, he wasn't rude, but he was insistent. But he was like, yes, I can. I have the right to film. And the only loophole they may find is that, you know, technology like cell phones and stuff isn't allowed in school at the school or whatever. So that, you know, kids aren't supposed to be using their cell phone. But he said, this is an activist action. This is like freedom of speech. It's like showing people what's going on. And he refused. He's like, what are you, crazy? I'm an American citizen. I can do whatever I want. And he's like, yeah. Filming. And then, yeah. And so anyway, yeah. Then in a conversation where he recorded it, you know, with an on-duty official, That's what he's going to get for wiretapping, or that's what they're going to get cop blocked for is wiretapping, huh?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Which I think oftentimes they throw charges like that at people to try to get them to, you know, settle out of court basically, and okay, we'll just give you a slap on the wrist and go on from there. But this guy's going to take it to the jury, I guarantee it. So, and obviously, I hope he wins, but I think he will in New Hampshire.
Sure.
But.
And I think that this could be a big case, concerning the fully informed jury. You know, hopefully, you know, we can get some of the crappy laws, at least in that state, thrown out.
Yeah.
Nullified.
Well, although, you know, being dragged into court and what have you might hurt his employment prospects, unless you're someone like Graham Spanier, who was the president of Penn State University, and aided and abetted and took part in the cover-up of Jerry Sandusky. Who knows how much deeper he was involved than what the report says, because the report was done by someone who I have a hard time wasn't, you know, helping whitewash things more than expose them. But anyway. He got a new job. Aren't you happy about that, that the Penn State president got a new job this quickly?
Yeah. I was worried. I was thinking, you know, really?
I mean, you hear all this about a bad economy, and then a guy goes through a scandal like that. So I wonder what company hired him. Let's find out. This is from the Washington Post by Al Kamen. And Graham Spanier might have been ousted from his post at the helm of Penn State over the sex abuse scandal that engulfed the university, but it seems he's found a backup employer, the American taxpayer. Only a disgraced public figure would consider joining the much-maligned ranks of the federal workforce as a step up, reputation-wise. We can assume there were no openings for a used car salesman. Spanier was faulted in an internal Penn State report after the conviction on child molestation charges of former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. The report said he, head coach Joe Paterno, and others helped cover up Sandusky's abuse and allow it to continue for years and years. I added that part in. His lawyer confirms to the Loop that Spanier is working on a part-time consulting basis for a top-secret agency on national security issues, where his cover-up skills come in handy, I guess. But the gig is so hush-hush, he couldn't even tell his attorneys the name of the agency. In April, months after his ouster as president, but before the release of the internal report, he told the Patriot News of Central Pennsylvania that he was working on a special project for the U.S. government relating to national security. But who's he working for? The CIA, Homeland Security, or maybe just a dull consulting firm with a government contract? I have no idea, said his lawyer, Peter Beira. We know the work is in security, and he's prohibited from disclosing which agency or agencies he's working for. From the internal report, though, after the internal report was released, Spanier complained in a statement from his attorneys that the document didn't make mention of his government clearance, something he apparently thought was evidence of his trustworthiness. He noted that his security clearance, which he apparently had first obtained while at Penn State, required a re-review when the Sandusky matter surfaced in November, and that federal investigators conducted their own probe of his role in the Sandusky scandal. The federal investigation ended with his security clearance being reaffirmed, the statement read. The Office of Personnel Management, essentially the federal government's human resources department, didn't shed any light on Spanier's mysterious gig as a possible federal employee. They instructed us to call individual agencies, even though we pointed out that we didn't know which agencies to contact. Have you spotted Spanier sporting a government ID on a lanyard and carrying a brown bag lunch? Let us know. So, there you go. It's good to know he's going to land on his feet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's good stuff. You know, it's like when they found, they tried to find a place for Henry Kissinger on the 9/11 commission. It's like, you know, you're really good at covering stuff up and hiding things, although actually not that great because eventually it all came to light. But, you know, let's bring you on this project. Let's bring you here where your expertise will be needed.
I guess who knows how far that thing went, but, to have as blatant of stuff as was going on covered up for that long, there had to be more people with dirt on them than just Sandusky.
I can't imagine
that it was, that whole charity, thank goodness they're just calling it quits, but, you know, charity, quote unquote, basically a way for targeting the specific, you know, at-risk youth that wouldn't be believed by other people and wouldn't have people they could trust to go to and report abuse. So it was a horrific situation, and I think, it's one of those stories that got so much press, but probably deservedly so. I mean, it was a horrific thing.
But no follow-up, right? I mean, there's no,
right.
Like, what's the fallout? What happens to the... You know, the guy who helped cover it up, what happens to this? You know, Joe Paterno passes, but what happens to, he goes to work for the U.S. taxpayer, you know, in a super, super secret job.
Yeah.
When they, you know, they
well,
can claim
and
that.
They, and so they just, obsess over, are they going to take down the Joe Paterno statue? And, oh, my goodness, they took down the Joe Paterno statue, and they, you know, took away some scholarships, so... I don't know. It's kind of obviously planted away from who else was involved. You know what other crimes were committed, et cetera. But anyway.
Speaking of child abuse, got another story here. 50 police officers arrested in child porn raids. This is from the Mail Online. And 50 police officers across the UK have been arrested as part of a crackdown on suspected pedophiles who pay to access child pornography websites, detectives revealed today. The officers were among 1,300 people arrested on suspicion of accessing or downloading indecent images of children, some as young as 5, from US-based internet sites. 35 men were arrested in London this morning as part of the investigation codename Operation OR, following raids on 45 addresses across the capital. Of the 50 policemen identified, 8 have been charged to date, and the remainder bailed pending further inquiries. Scotland Yard said none of those arrested today were policemen. At a press conference at Scotland Yard, Jim Gable, Assistant Chief Constable of the National Crime Squad, said he was not surprised at the number of police officers among the suspects. As police officers, we should be held accountable, he said. 50 police officers have been identified, and we are not hiding that fact. We want you to know about that so we can reassure you. Police officers are members of a community, and they serve, and there will be good people and there will be bad people in the police. Mr. Gamble said the 50 officers were among 1,200 Britons who have been identified as Category 1 or 2 suspect, those who pose the greatest potential risk to children. In addition, 40 children nationwide, 28 of them in London, have been identified as being at risk of being abused, and appropriate steps have been taken with agencies to ensure all the youngsters were safe. Before today's arrest, the Metropolitan Police had executed 75 warrants across the capital, with 65 arrests and more than 130 computers seized, although 7,000 suspects were users of a pay-per-view child pornography site based in the U.S. were identified in Britain, Mr. Gamble said the actual number of offenders would probably be lower, partly due to duplicates. So, I don't know. It's just, yikes.
Yeah, and that's another one. It's hard to know if that's as straightforward as it sounds or if there's, you know, it's certainly an easy way to set someone up, too, as far as, you know, oh, we found child porn on your computer, you know, you're going to jail. Let's say someone was investigating other police corruption or what have you. It's a pretty easy way to frame someone, especially, and I don't have any stories on this, which would have been good to connect it to, but I know the NSA is looking for basically they want technology and permission to basically track everything, so everything that you, everywhere you went on the internet, but they have, and then they can just say, oh, you went there, and as long as, you know, if it's believed in court, you can get thrown in jail for stuff that you may or may not have done. So it's kind of, I don't know, I don't want to jump or go too far into the tech aspect of it, but yeah, it's certainly a disturbing story one way or the other.
Sure, sure. And yeah, that to the story, we didn't cover it, but I think it was a few weeks ago where a very strange story where a guy was arrested with a 15-year-old at the London airport.
Mm-hmm.
And did you read that one?
I saw the headline. I didn't read the story. But.
Yeah, he was an international masseuse, and he had a 15-year-old boy with him. The guy had an interesting relationship with the boy's mother, but they flew in from Texas to London to, quote unquote, massage high-powered, you know, officials who were going to be visiting the London Olympics or whatever. And they actually were detained at the airport for fears that the kid was going to be used, 15-year-old boy was going to be used in some sort of sex practices because they looked into the guy's history and he's, you know, been known to be a little bit more than a masseuse, I guess is the only way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
So just sick, sick, sick stuff.
Absolutely. You want to move on to some more wholesome things like another mass shooting?
Sure, sure. Well, yeah, I guess we'll skip over the kidnapped victim found in garage of New York police detective, but I'll put that in the show notes on revelationsradionews.com. I guess there's only a certain amount of those stories that we can handle per show, right?
Of police doing bad things stories? I mean,
yeah.
I guess you could spend the whole show on it, but...
No, I don't even necessarily mean police doing bad things. I just mean child abuse, child. We got the guy going to work for the post office or some sort of, you know, some sort of federal super secret place, which I know you're no fan of the post. No, I know you're no fan of the post office over there, but
no.
So he goes to work there, and then. You know, we got this thing going on where, you know, cops are getting busted with child pornography and then kidnapped victim found in the garage of a New York police detective. So, yeah.
Yep. Oh, and also, you know, we had some technical problems last week, but if people want to call in and ask questions, they're welcome to do that.
Please.
We do want to kind of incorporate, we're used to doing a podcast without calls, but we obviously want to incorporate calls into the show. So if anyone's listening out there and got a question or got something to say, feel free to call in.
Good point. Good point. All right. And on that note, we should probably take a quick break.
All right.
All right. So we'll hit up the next story. What story are we going to hit up after this?
Let's talk about the shooting at the Sikh temple today. We got a couple of stories on that.
Okay, sounds good.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hi folks, Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday, for Liberty Underground, the Moretti Report, the best 6 o'clock news on the web. Please join me, as well as my great co-host JoJo Norton, and our chat moderators Lynn and Anna, as we bring you the latest news, current events, analysis, and an occasional featured guest. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Fed up with the lies, manipulation, and deceptions of everyone else's opinion? Tired of being ridiculed and conforming to other standards because your standards are based in biblical principles? In truth, there is liberty. Blessings, Freedomizers. Join me, Servant Emmanuel, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network as I host the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries program every Tuesday and Saturday afternoons, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, for truth according to the Holy Scriptures. With like-minded individuals who are not so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good, let us stand together, freedomists, not in their truth, not in our truth, but the truth according to the Word of God. We will have prayer, biblical studies, occasional guests with world news with issues that are of concern to the body of Christ. Come and fellowship with us as we stand against the coming new world order. Blessings and peace to your home. Sound Doctrine on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
All right. So let's go ahead and hit up that story.
All right. This comes from Yahoo, so it's kind of the mainstream take on it. Shooting at Sikh temple, 7 dead, including suspected gunmen, police say. Notice gunmen singular. Worshipper, and then it's got a photo of a guy outside the temple. At least 7 people were killed, including the suspected gunman, in a mass shooting at a Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, south of Milwaukee on Sunday. According to police, 911 dispatchers received multiple calls from the temple at approximately 10:25 a.m. local time. An officer responded to the scene was treating the victim when he was ambushed by the suspected gunman in the parking lot. Oak Creek Police Chief John Edwards said. A veteran officer was shot multiple times and rushed to Milwaukee for a church hospital where he underwent surgery, Edwards said. The suspect was shot and killed by a second officer, police said. The gunman was not identified and no motive was released. Tactical units conducting a sweep of the 17,000-square-foot temple discovered 4 bodies inside and 3, including the gunman, in the parking lot. Edwards said weapons were recovered but would not elaborate. According to CNN, 2 semi-automatic handguns were recovered at the scene, and a member of the temple described the gunman as a tall male with what appeared to be a, quote, 9/11 tattoo. There were initial unconfirmed reports of multiple shooters and a hostage situation, though police say they believe there was just 1 gunman. A spokesman for Frederick Hospital said a total of 3 victims, including the officer, were admitted, 2 with gunshot wounds to the face and 1 with gunshot wounds to the abdomen. All 3 are in critical condition, the spokesman said. Other area hospitals were initially told to prepare for as many as 20 victims, although it appears that figure was precautionary. Law enforcement officials are treating the case as an act of domestic terrorism, police said. The FBI is leading the investigation. Oh, good. The FBI is in there to take care of things. names of the victims in Sunday's shooting were not released. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Datwant Kalika, the president of the temple, was one of the victims taken to Frederick Hospital, according to his nephew, Kermit Kalika. Dozens of worshippers, including women and children, were gathering for a meal before an 11:30 a.m. prayer service at the temple, or Gurdwara, where the shooting occurred. There are about 500 members in the congregation, officials said. Witnesses described a chaotic scene as worshippers reportedly hid inside closets within the building after the gunman opened fire inside. President Barack Obama was notified of the shooting shortly before 1 p.m. Eastern by Chief Counterterrorism Officer John Brennan, a senior administration official, told the Yahoo News. Michelle and I were deeply saddened to learn of the shooting that tragically... I'm trying to get to the end before I jump into the commentary, but Michelle and I were deeply saddened to learn of the shooting that tragically took so many lives in Wisconsin, Obama said. At this difficult time, the people of Oak Creek must know that the American people of God have them in our thoughts and prayers. Our hearts go out to the families and friends of those who were killed and wounded. My administration will provide whatever support is necessary to the officials who are responding to this tragic shooting and moving forward with an investigation. As we mourn this loss, which took place at a house of worship, we're reminded of how much our country has been enriched by Sikhs, who are part of our broader American family. Mitt Romney released a statement, too. So of course, we need to know what they... It's a senseless act of violence and a tragedy that should never befall any house of worship, Romney said. Our hearts are with the victims, their families, and the entire Oak Creek Sikh community. We join Americans everywhere in mourning those who lost their lives and in prayer for healing in the difficult days ahead. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker said his office is working with the FBI and local law enforcement in its investigation. And he had the same, you know, platitudes to say. The Indian Embassy in Washington called it a tragic incident, said it has been in touch with the National Security Council and local authorities to monitor the situation. Sunday's shooting comes less than a month after the Aurora, Colorado theater massacre, when 12 people were killed and 58 wounded during the midnight screening of Dark Knight Rises. Sikhism is a 500-year-old monotheist faith with about 27 million followers worldwide, including about 300,000 in the United States. 9/11, Sikh groups in the United States have reported a rise in bias attacks. There have been more than 700 reports of hate-related incidents against Sikhs since September 11, 2001 terror attacks, according to the Associated Press. Sikhs don't practice the same religion as Muslims, the AP noted, but their long beards and turbans often cause them to be mistaken for Muslims, as they say. In the wake of the shooting in Wisconsin, law enforcement officials in other cities, including New York City, increased patrols near Sikh temples on Sunday. However, there is no known threat against Sikh temples in New York, that's why we do that. So there you go. Got another domestic terrorist. And, well, I mean, we'll just have to see, but I would kind of bet dollars to donuts that they're going to come out and say it was like a Tea Party type person who hated Muslims and this and that. As if the government will pose in kind of horror of the shooting while they're the ones pushing the propaganda in the first place. But the fact you would think if you were going to hate a group of people so much that you were going to go kill some of them, you would at least know if they were the group you were targeting. Like, if you really hated Muslims so much that you were going to go shoot a bunch of them, that you would figure out whether the people you were going to go shoot were actually Muslims or not.
Right.
You know, so that's one kind of obvious thing that sticks out. What are kind of your first impressions on the mainstream version of the story?
I'm not sure about the, you know, somebody's posting in the chat room, you know, is it a false flag? Was it staged? You know, I don't think I've got enough information, you know, to make a decision on that. I mean, obviously, if the FBI is involved, I'm definitely leaning that way. I mean, I guess they're going to be involved with any sort of shooting after it happens or whatever. But You know, maybe we'll come out and find out that one of the guys killed or one of the people was known by an FBI informant or something in the next day or two, and that'll tell the tale, right?
In this next story, eyewitness four-man team behind Sikh temple shooting. Because in the Yahoo story, it said, oh, there were initial reports of hostage taking and multiple shooters, but those were unconfirmed, and police say there is now just one gunman. Well, it's not like these reports are kind of, someone's like, oh, I heard gunshots from a couple different places, so I think there were multiple shooters. I don't know. Could we even play the videos on the air, Tim, or is that?
No, not that I know of yet, but I could maybe play them on the recorded podcast, but not on the air.
Okay.
I don't know quite how to do that. I'd have to upload the audio. If I would have known beforehand, we could have.
Sorry.
I'll kind of summarize it.
Basically, a guy who's like a very calm, collected person considering the situation, his father was one of the people shot. And wounded and was in the hospital, and his mother was one of the people who was hiding inside. And he said there were, according to both of them, it was, very well coordinated, and there were multiple shooters. And then another guy says specifically there were that there was a team of four men dressed in black, all of them like white men, they estimated in their 30s, that came in and started shooting everyone. So, you know, why would the eyewitnesses just make that up? And you can't really be mistaken about that. You know what
No.
I mean? Like, it's either one guy with a gun or four guys with a gun. And maybe, you know, there were actually three and you thought there were four, but I don't see how you get from one to four without an actual, at least, you know, a couple other shooters. So,
now,
once again, we have the same exact script playing out of the initial eyewitness reports being multiple shooters, and then within hours, it's boiled down to, no, lone gunman, just a lone gunman, and here's the script for gun control or whatever agenda needs to be pushed because of that.
And then it keeps changing too. Like that's another thing. I think Webster Tarpley pointed out that when these stories happen, oftentimes, and I didn't catch on to this till he mentioned it, and then you start to see it. But oftentimes a story will come out. He said Osama bin Laden was the best example, where one story will be floated, and then it'll change. It'll be another story, and then it'll change. It'll be another story, to the point where people are constantly getting stories, different stories, in order, like a deliberate attempt to confuse the public, so
right.
that they're looking for some sort of an answer, but they don't look in other sources. They continue to stick with the source that's supposedly, you know, sorting through and trying to figure it out, and it confuses you to the point where you're just trying to figure out, oh, what actually happened, and it, you know, now you're trying to figure out, like, oh man, you know, did this guy think that they were Muslims? And that's the question that's kind of posed by the mainstream article. You know, this guy probably didn't even know the difference between Muslims and whatnot, but, you know, he had guns, so we got to stop the gun laws or whatever. But you don't start asking the real questions, like, why did someone say that there was four people there? Why? Why did someone say a tear gas canister came from the other side of the theater? You know, those are the questions that make sense to ask, but we're never allowed to, you know, at least if you watch the mainstream media, because you're kind of quietly led along this path where they show you, well, this might be true, and this might be true, and this might be true, and at the end they have the golden truth all wrapped up with a bow, and all along
right.
the way you're like, wow, that was a tough journey, but you never actually question anything they didn't want you to question.
Yeah, and the Osama bin Laden killing, I think, was the example you brought up, and that was, they came up with, like, oh, he was in a firefight using his wife as a human shield, and then the story changed like 10 different times. But so you question, they lied about that, they lied about that, they lied about that. But you're not supposed to question the overall fact that Bin Laden was alive to be killed in the first place. You know,
exactly.
It's kind of, yeah.
Right.
And this
right.
is kind of the, although, I don't know, it is weird. It's a Sunday morning thing. They don't usually, well, I don't know. There's definitely some news cycle going on Sundays too. So, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it in the days ahead. I will
sure,
say
mate.
Good for the, because we talked about the Colorado shooting, how the police showed up in all their SWAT gear and did nothing but set up a perimeter and wait for more and more people to get killed. Good for whoever the cop is that, like, ran up and actually tried to help someone and ended up getting himself shot in the process. And, you know, assuming that that's accurate, he probably did interfere with what was going on if it was, you know, a larger project rather than just one lone gunman. And if it was a lone gunman, that behavior doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because if you go into a building and start shooting people and you run out, even assuming, okay, you shoot someone else in the parking lot, do you wait close to them and for a cop to show up and then shoot the cop? Or, you know, you would think he'd be taken off running somewhere. So, I don't know. As usual, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And the official narrative, which is going to be boiled down to, you know, racist white man who hates Muslims and is a Tea Partier and probably, you know, hates Obama.
He has a stockpile of guns too.
Yeah.
He's
so
many guns.
Obama. And then we'll have more posing. So, it is interesting. We'll have to see if it's like the plane crash theory where it goes in threes. We'll have to see if there's another mass shooting within a short period of time, but obviously, hopefully not. But.
No kidding. You know what would be interesting is to do some research and find out how many, you know, like I recently saw some information about 9/11 witnesses and how many of them were, you know, killed afterwards, like died randomly. You know, the gal who met with President Bush and President Obama, whose husband died in 9/11, her plane crashed in 2009. You know, there's a bunch of witnesses. You know, Barry Jennings is, of course, another
one. Barry Jennings,
yeah. There's several witnesses who refuse to go quietly in the night, and continue to tell what they saw. And they just disappear. But those are, of course, never covered. And it'd be interesting to, you know, to try and find out the names of people immediately when they happen. Like this police, you know, officer's name or whoever was interviewed saying that there was four people. Find out their names and then find out what actually ends up happening to them. Another case would be the Haskell. I don't remember his first name. Was it Brett? Kurt Haskell on board the Underwear Bomber flight. And I think he's done himself a service by making himself so public, because he
right.
refuses to go, you know, to say that, oh, it's, you know, the Underwear Bomber did this or that, or that he wasn't escorted on the flight by somebody at the last minute. You know, he clearly saw that, and he will not change his story.
He just has to deal with, like, the government-funded, you know, fake alternative news people and the internet claiming he's a phony and all sorts of stuff. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
well,
Kurt Haskell's. He's a government plant, and he's trying to mislead. It's like, really? He planted himself on the – he's pointing out holes in the official story because he's working for the government, really?
Discernment overdrive. Discernment overdrive. He's just a – he's a coadjutor.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, with this thing, I don't know. Wasn't some of Michael Moore's Bowling for Columbine, wasn't it filmed in Wisconsin? Didn't he do like a bunch of stuff in Wisconsin?
He might have. I remember mainly Detroit and Colorado, maybe even Aurora.
Okay. It's been a long time since I saw that movie, but it seems like he was kind of making fun of you know, with some legitimacy, people that thought that the terrorists were going to strike in Wisconsin and things like that. So.
Sure, sure. Well, there's a rather large Muslim population in the upper Midwest there, in Detroit,
right,
and several places there. And it's just, you know, I don't even know. This story almost sounds believable just because it is so, well, I guess other than the four men, never mind. But I do think that your average American won't be able to tell a Sikh from a Muslim at all.
But well, I don't know about your average American, but at least you're like the one that's dumb enough to have bought into the Muslim-hating propaganda probably can't.
Right.
You know, they don't know that Iranians aren't Muslims, or sorry, Iranians aren't Arabs, and things like that. So they're not going to be able to say like, oh, that person is a Sikh, not a, you know. So they're just like, oh, turn it into a parking lot, and we got to get them before they get us. But, of course, you know, Barack Obama can just pose over the thing as if he's totally innocent and not pushing that same narrative, you know.
Right.
It's okay to just go kill random people with drones in a foreign country. You just can't go kill random people in our country. So.
Right, right, sure. And Yeah, I was going to go somewhere else, but I'll let it go from there. So if anybody else has any opinions on the Sikh shooting, you can go ahead and call in. Looks like the number here is 34. Oh, we got several questions lined up. I didn't even notice. My fault. So let's go to question number one, caller. Let's see here. Hello, caller. Are you on the air?
Yeah, I'm right here.
How's it going?
Good. I called in last night.
Okay. I didn't do a show last night, but did you need something? What'd you want to say?
Well, I just want to talk about this shooting that happened today.
Okay.
This is my thing about it. Is I think the shooter that went in there in that temple tonight was trying to act like the shooter in Colorado.
Okay. Sure, like a copycat. Yeah, the copycat effect that usually happens after a big event.
Since the shooter in Colorado had a massacre, V8 or whatever they call it, I think that this guy went in there and wanted a temple massacre.
Okay.
Because this don't happen 2 weeks after
sure.
the war of Colorado one. And then it goes to Milwaukee. It don't happen that way.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, yeah, school shootings usually are years apart, maybe months, but most of the time years apart. So, you know, the copycat idea, at least if it's, you know, are you saying that if it's a lone gunman, if it's four men or either or?
I don't care how many. They all, whoever went in there shot that, I don't know how many they did. I did a show tonight, too, on the same thing. But I don't know how many people went in there shot. But all I know is that he went in there, these people went in there and shot up six or seven people. And they were trying to act like the James Holmes guy in Aurora, Colorado. I know that for a fact.
Sure. Sure. Well, it's definitely a good theory.
Well, and I mean, mass shootings are incredibly rare. Now, there is also kind of the bias of, you know, the media can blow something out of proportion. I mean, there were probably car wrecks today that killed seven people that didn't make the national news. So it is kind of media hyping something up. And as far as being a copycat thing, it definitely could be. At this point, we don't know too much about, obviously, if they were dressed up like a character out of Batman, it would obviously be a copycat thing. There's no real evidence of that at this point, but who knows? I think if you've got unbalanced people and you hype up shootings and things like that, maybe someone else does decide to go off the deep end.
Right. But was this shooter white, black? What color was this man?
He was white. We don't know his name yet, at least as far as what I've seen, which is kind of strange.
And he's a white man.
Right.
Well, I still think he went in there and acted like this Aurora, Colorado guy, because, first of all, it happened in 2 weeks of each other. And ain't it kind of a weird place to go and shoot up in a temple?
Sure.
It's in the back of the woods somewhere? Because it looks like it was in the back of the woods to me.
Sure. Or in Wisconsin, yeah. There's actually a book on this called The Copycat Effect, written by Lauren Coleman. And there's a quick synopsis I found. He said, devoting separate chapters to disparate – this is a review of it – to disparate events like sniper sprees, suicide via airplane, suicidal cults, post office killings, and teenage suicide, Coleman finds that in each case, frequently overlooked event repetitions over time likely influenced the most shocking current iterations, such as Mohammed Malvo attacks and the 9/11. By carefully cataloging long strings of traumatic events, the author offers some persuasive and sometimes chilling evidence that murders and suicides often inspire imitation, as in the suicide clusters among seemingly normal teenagers that occurred in the affluent and blue-collar towns alike and during the 1980s and 90s. And I think he goes further into that in that book, talking about how it's so covered in the media, where this guy gets all this attention, and it talks about, the different ways that you're kind of inviting some sort of copycat. And I believe he even put it, I saw him in an interview recently, and he even put a date on it. He said the 7 days and then 2 week period, right? 2 weeks afterwards, the 1 week anniversary, the 2 week anniversary, and the 1 month anniversary were the ones that were most likely to have a copycat. And how far out are we? We're just over 2 weeks, it looks like. So, wow. Yeah, that's an interesting theory.
I got something else.
Okay.
One more thing.
Okay.
I have another theory on this. I think it was a political thing. I think these people in the temple were all liberals, and I think this shooter was a conservative. Because what's going on right now is that Mitt Romney is going against Barack Obama, the worst president in the history of the world, all I got to say. But now, let me get straight to the bottom of this. The people in the temple were all Democrats, and I can tell that just because they were Indians, and I know for a fact they were all liberals, and I think the shooter, whoever he is, was a conservative.
Well, there you go. Well, it'll at least be portrayed like that in the media. Anyway, we got to go to a commercial real quick, and right after that, we'll come up on our next caller. Thanks for calling in, by the way, and we will come back right after this.
Do you believe we are not alone? Are you intrigued by the paranormal and psychic phenomena? Have you ever wondered if there was something abnormal about how the society operates? Do you believe you are here to do more on this planet? Do you feel as though you are living in a prison country or planet rather than a sovereign nation? Does it feel like you never had any constitutional rights, or that they are ignoring it as if it wasn't important? Join me, Joanna Johnston, psychic empath and spiritual warrior, on Illuminating Minds on FreedomizerRadio.com every Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, beginning on January 8th, to move further down the rabbit hole.
In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure. Maximum Archives MyDrive service lets you have access to your data from just about any device and pretty much anywhere. MyDrive makes sure that when it counts, you can get what you need, because failure's not an option. Sign up for MyDrive today at MaximumArchive.com. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
Hi folks, Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday, for Liberty Underground, The Moretti Report, the best 6 o'clock news on the web. Please join me, as well as my great co-host JoJo Norton, and our chat moderators Lynn and Anna, as we bring you the latest news, current events, analysis, and an occasional featured guest. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
All right, and the show continues. This is Revelations Radio News. I'm Tim Kilkenny. Andrew Hoffman is on the other line, and we are getting ready to take a call. So let's do that. Hello, caller.
Hey,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sort of, kind of, maybe. This is Larry. I drive a truck for a living. But anyway, I'm not going to assume anything or think that somebody's a Democrat or who or whatever. But
sure.
If I was that person that said that there was four men dressed in black, I would make sure I have my last will and testament made up, because people that do like what he did tend to have an untimely death, it seems.
Sure.
If you contradict the news and are noticed too much, you seem to kind of have bad things happen to you. If what he said was true, it's just the government doing it again, because, one, you wouldn't get militia groups or anything to do that, because why would anybody with half a brain do something to draw heat down on anti-gun legislation where they're already going to the UN and all this other crap? We have, what, five different bills with anti-gun legislation, including high-capacity magazines and all this other crap. Anyway, welcome to Freedomizer. When did you all start?
We've been on for about 3 weeks now. I think this is our third live show.
Boy, it shows you how much I get around. Actually, I did get around. It's just half the time I'm off in la-la land somewhere where there's no signal, which I'm fixing to lose signal again. One of you guys is up in Yakima?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm heading up that way. I'm going, making a delivery to Grandview.
Oh,
I'll
cool.
be up there tonight, yeah. But I promise I won't do any terrorist activities. I won't dress in black and wear a mask and have high-capacity semi-automatic rifles or anything like that. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, hey, in Washington, I'm going to change subject a little bit here. I know it's kind of like your show and everything, but I don't want to get too depressed. Are y'all in Washington under the same laws as Oregon as far as you can't collect rainwater and have a pond and all this other crap?
You know, there's a store. I know about this thing that's going on in Oregon, but there's a store called PCC. It's an organic, I think it's a local store up the road here, and they actually do have a rainwater collection bin right on the side of their building. And I don't know if it's illegal or not.
Oh, you're the one who lives in Yakima? Or you both live in Yakima?
I live in Seattle, so I'm just on the other
side
of the mountain. No, I'm just on the other side of the mountain from Yakima there. So, anyway,
and
I'm not sure.
I'm kind of like, not anti-Seattle, but I've noticed that 9/10 of the people I talk to in Seattle, they've drank too much fluoride and love Obama too much. I don't know what the deal is there. I have no clue what happened. Kind of like Portland, but you know, it just. But then you go on the west side. I mean, not the west side, but the east side of the state, and people are like down to earth. And Obama sucks. Police state shit sucks. Pardon my language, but you know that's what they say. And I mean, I stop in La Grande once in a while and get something to eat, and people are totally different than Seattle. You know, I don't get it. How did you turn out to not be like them? You're different. According to Seattle people, you're weird. You fit more in with Texas.
Yeah. Well.
See, in Texas, the water underneath us is ours, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to ask permission. There's no permit. You come on my property with a meter to see what kind of water usage it is on my well, and you get shot. I mean, you know, that's just, we're uncivilized in Texas, I guess. I don't know. Neanderthals. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, well, see, now this is the first time listening to y'all and calling y'all. Welcome to Freedomizer. And how often are y'all on? Just on Sundays?
Just Sunday nights, yep. But we have a podcast. We've been doing this for about a year now. So if you go to revelationsradionews.com, there's a bunch of episodes cataloged there that you can listen to.
Yeah, I don't have a smartphone. I have a stupid phone. So
only people in Seattle have smartphones. Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, man. Yeah, later, dude. God bless y'all.
God bless.
Save your water.
I will.
Don't let them know you do it either. They'll come and get you, the water police, you know. The water Nazis.
Well,
torture you. Go ahead, what?
It's only fair because, you know, the government makes the water.
Of course.
And that's what I think every time I go to a park and have, nagging signs everywhere telling me to protect the trees and what have you and how the government's protecting them. And it's like, man, it's just, thank goodness the government made all those mountains and here in the Northwest.
Yeah, and we didn't do the work. Yeah, we didn't do the work. According to Obama, other people did. It's like my truck. I'm not driving it. Other people are driving it. And does that mean then I can keep about 100 different logbooks for the day?
There you go.
We have to keep records on what we do every day as far as driving. That's what we call a logbook. It's actually a legal document. Anyway, as I was thinking, it's like, according to all blah, blah, then I'm not really the one driving this truck, am I?
No.
I didn't do it. So go ahead. Well, try to give me a ticket. But, hey, you guys take care of your show. And good show. God bless. And if you get run out of Oregon and Washington, or actually you're in Washington, Texas always has a place for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Can't wait
later,
Later. Can't wait to get one of those Republicans in the White House so that everything can get better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a lot better. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
It'll get much, much better then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Larry.
Obama, or is it blah, blah? I get them confused.
I like
is there a difference between them?
Yeah.
No,
really. Yeah, we call him blah, blah, or Obama, or something. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? We'll think of something. You got to mute me, though, dude. Hey.
Thanks for the call, Larry.
You have to mute me. Okay.
I know. You're still talking, though. I was going to do it while you're talking.
Okay.
Here I go.
All
right. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Dalton. I'm calling from Somerdale, Alabama.
How's it going, Dalton?
It's been pretty good. I've worked my butt off today.
Oh, yeah? Did you have a question or comment for us?
I just was wondering what y'all were talking about.
Oh, we're talking about news stories, talking about the Sikh shooting in fluoride in the water and just all kinds of stuff on here.
The shooting in Colorado, I think, was kind of stupid.
Yeah, I definitely think it was stupid. So did you have a question for us?
Did y'all hear anything about, I know that they gave him a life sentence, but did y'all hear anything else about it?
No, I don't know that has he been tried yet? I don't think that's even possible. It was only 2 weeks
ago.
No,
he hasn't been tried. He won't be tried for a while. He's had court appearances, but he's been charged, but he hasn't been tried and
he's
convicted
been
yet.
Formally charged. Okay, cool.
But actually, there's one more story. I don't know how many more we'll get to, but I did want to get to this one.
Okay.
And then maybe our caller can tell us what they think of it, or
sure.
Other people can call in about it. But it comes from Tekka, and it's, if you live until 2045, you may never have to fear death. If you have enough cash, a Russian man may be able to help you live forever. And then it's got this image of 2045 Avatar project milestones, starting with Avatar A, and they're estimating between 2015 and 2020, a robotic copy of a human body remotely controlled via BCI. Do you know what BCI stands for, Tim?
I don't.
I don't either, but I was hoping you did. Avatar B, 2020 to 2025, an avatar in which a human brain is transplanted at the end of one's life. Avatar C, 2030 to 2035, an avatar with an artificial brain in which a human personality is transferred at the end of one's life, and Avatar D, 2040 to 2045, a hologram-like avatar. So, and here's the story. Immortality is something all of us have thought of, but nobody really takes seriously. I don't know about that. A 31-year-old Russian man named Dmitry Itskov wants you to seriously consider the possibility of living forever, and perhaps even plan on being able to do so by 2045. His plan, called simply the 2045 Initiative, will sound familiar if you've seen the James Cameron blockbuster Avatar. And he just needs a few billion dollars to make it a reality. Itskov's project has several phases, with each step bringing mankind closer to the ultimate goal of living forever. The first step in the project is to create robotic humans that can be controlled remotely. He plans on crossing this hurdle by 2020 at the latest. Then by 2025, a human brain will be transferred into a robotic skeleton to continue life after death. By 2035, the avatar's brain will be constructed separately, and your own personality will simply be transferred into it when you are ready to end your human existence. And finally, by the year 2045, humans will be able to walk around in holographic avatars for eternity, never fearing death. Not surprisingly, the Avatar project is extremely expensive, and Itskov needs some serious financial help if he can pull it off. But naturally, he's asking the world's richest people to help fund the movement. In return, he's pledging to help each donor on his or her own immortality quest. You know, because you just can't spend $50 billion in one lifetime. And this is, you know, it's kind of a jokey article, and who knows who this Russian guy is. But that is where, like, you know, all these super rich people, whether it be Walt Disney or other people, they're into this stuff. They're obsessed with, you know, life extension technology and merging with computers and what have you. I think Walt Disney's, I don't know if it's his whole body or just his head, is on ice, is, you know, cryogenically frozen, waiting for the time when he believes science will catch up and be able to bring him back to life. So, you know, this, and it's basically a kind of humanistic, secular attempt to provide eternal life, to provide, you know, a substitute for what's promised in, you know, both in Christianity and other religions of life after death.
Yeah, it's the elite's way of trying to cheat death, trying to cheat the repercussions of sin, to live forever so they continue to cause, wreak havoc on the entire earth. Canary Cry Radio. Go ahead.
Oh, but of course not everyone can live forever, because the world really would get overpopulated, so they have to get rid of most of us first before they jump into the living forever part.
Exactly. So Canary Cry Radio, another show that's linked on revelationsradionews.com, I listened to them talk about this whole thing a few weeks ago, and one of the funniest, or not funny, but true quotes that they said there was that you're only, once you're uploaded into a system like that, you're only one click away from, you know, going in the trash can. You know,
yeah.
once we all start to upload ourselves into computers or hit, you know, some sort of microchips in our brain or whatever, you know, you're only a few clicks away from, you know, the delete key, which is the end game, right? I mean, they want full control over everything. And it's strange. I mean, it's not strange. It's an amazing plan. You just have to sit back in awe sometimes and watch as we march towards, you know, the smart grid. You know, I'm a fan of technology. I love it. I really, every time something comes out, you know, it's cool to get a hold of it and see what it does and saves you time. And you're now able to do so many things that, you know, 10 to 20 years ago wouldn't have been imagined. But on the other hand, as we get further and further down this rabbit hole and start plugging our toasters and our coffee makers and our microwaves into the smart grid so that it can update itself or whatever it needs to do, you know, we're headed in a direction of total control and willingly doing it. The electric car included, you know, all those things. I don't think that, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting thing to think about, that we're headed in this direction and in a lot of ways willingly, you know, and you never hear the real, you know, like you came right out and said the truth there, you know, they're essentially promising you what is promised in the Bible. for nothing, like, you know, but no change of lifestyle required, just like all those drug commercials, right? No change of lifestyle required for this immortality. And that's, yeah, you know, that's essentially what they're doing there. And everybody's like, oh, this is an awesome idea. You know, nobody ever thinks like, oh, this is going to be bad for humanity. What if somebody does have, you know, if we're all plugged into a grid, who's going to control the grid? It doesn't seem like people stop to think about that because they're so lost in the scenery of it all, you know, the grandioseness, right, of, oh, could you imagine living forever? And sure, man has always struggled with death. It's natural instinct to want to not die, you know, and so, of course, it's going to, you know, they're going to cater to that. And that's the only thing they're going to talk about. We could live forever. But, like, you're going to lose your free will, and, you know, we're going to be able to control every aspect of it. Those things aren't necessarily pitched so strongly.
Right. Yeah. Well, and who lives and who dies, and who, and you see just from this random Russian guy who claims he can, you know, make this happen, if you're a billionaire who can give him tons of money. You know, it's the same thing with the people that are cryogenically frozen. I mean, it's kind of a genius business model. You get massively rich people to give you tons of money to provide a service that they'll never be able to know whether you provide it or not, you know. So, like, oh yeah, we're going to keep you cryogenically frozen until we can bring you back and give us all your money to do that, because it might take 100 years or so, you know. But,
did you ever watch the so-called movie called 2012?
Oh, no, I didn't. Not that
one. You didn't?
I was thinking of The Day After Tomorrow, another ridiculous one.
This is the other total disaster movie. But in that one, I just can't help but draw the parallel. The way you find out about the arcs that the super elite are going to get into, because they knew this was coming ahead of time, is through a rich Russian diplomat who has tickets, and he gets, you know, tickets on board. And that's how the, you know, protagonist, who is John Cusack, found out about the whole thing, is through a rich Russian who already had tickets to do it. So it's just kind of funny that the story is, here we go.
Yeah.
Same sort
it's
of
always
thing.
Russian. Well, and all the, and I think that was a legitimate story, because I know they are working on stuff like that, but
sure,
you know, all the hoax stories on the internet, it's always like some Russian government source, you know, scientists or,
Even this site, Tekka, Your Lifestyle Plugged In, if you look over to the right in this article, it says, now trending, Oklahoma's so hot, street lamps are melting. And they go ahead and pitch that it's not hard to be concerned with global warming when its effects are right in front of your eyes. Sure, it's one thing on the ocean we get to reclaim its islands, but you can see the effects in your hometown. Well, that's another story altogether. KFOR-TV in Stillwater, Oklahoma, is reporting temperatures that are so high street lamps have been melting. To be sure, Stillwater is suffering from one heck of a heat wave. And then it goes on to not talk about the dumpster fire that was nearby. Who knows? I think that these stories are true, though, because you can see, you know, that's the end game of eugenics, is the elites will pitch that we're going to live forever. And, you know, after whatever great cataclysm comes, then they will, or at least attempt to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we probably have time for another story, which, let's see here. Let's see which one we want to get to. You got any favorites? Oh, this is an interesting one. I want to talk about this just real quick. And it's this one's from Yahoo News. Twitter lists suspension for vocal critic of NBC's Olympic coverage. Facing Olympic-sized public backlash, Twitter lifted its suspension of Guy Adams, a Los Angeles-based correspondent for London's Independent, who had been highly critical of NBC's coverage of the 2012 Olympics. According to Adams, the microblogging service, which partnered with NBC for the Summer Games, alerted him of the reinstatement via email. "We just received an update from the complaint retracting the original request," Twitter wrote, according to Adams. "Therefore, your account has been unsuspended." Twitter gave no further explanation or offered an apology. Adams' account was suspended on Sunday, 2 days after he tweeted the corporate email of NBC's Olympics president, Gary Zankel, whom Adams called the moronic executive behind the network's decision to tape delay events
in its for its primetime U.S. broadcast. The U.S. man responsible for NBC pretending the Olympics haven't started yet is Gary Zinkel. Tell him what you think, and then listed his email. I didn't publish a private email address, just a corporate one, which is widely available to anyone with access to Google and is identical to the one that tens of thousands of NBC Universal employees share, Adams argued in an email to Twitter's head of European public relations. It's no more private than the address I'm emailing you from right now. NBC released a statement on Monday confirming that it had contacted Twitter to complain. We filed a complaint with Twitter because a user tweeted the personal information of one of our executives, the network said. According to Twitter, this is a violation of their privacy policy. Twitter alone levies discipline. But according to the Telegraph, it was Twitter that informed NBC News of the tweet, and this is why I wanted to cover the story, not because I care about the criticism of the Olympics. Our social media department was actually alerted to it by Twitter, said Christopher McCloskey, NBC Sports Vice President of Communication, who wrote in an email to the newspaper. Then we filled out the form and submitted it. On Tuesday, Twitter confirmed that it alerted NBC to the tweet. We want to apologize for the part of this story we did mess up, Twitter General Counsel Alex McGalvery wrote in a lengthy post explaining how the company handled Adams' case. The team worked closely with NBC around our Olympic partnership and did proactively identify a tweet that was in violation of Twitter rules and encouraged them to support a ticket with our trust and safety team to report the violation, as has been publicly reported. Our trust and safety team did not know that part of the story and had acted on the report that they would then blah, blah, blah. He continued, as I stated earlier, we do not proactively report on or remove content. Here you go. We do not proactively report or remove content on behalf of other users, no matter who they are. This behavior is not acceptable and undermines the trust our users have in us. We should not and cannot be the business of proactively monitoring and flagging content, no matter who it is. Although we just did it 2 days ago to NBC, but that's why I'm writing this post. Wait a second. Whether a business partner, celebrity, or friend, as of earlier today, the account has been unsuspended, and we will actively ensure that this does not happen again. So there you go. Just an example, I thought, a good one. You know, we always hear about Twitter being this amazing source, and it is. I use Twitter. I love it. But it's this amazing source that incites revolutions in other, you know, these Muslim countries halfway across the world. And, of course, Twitter could never be used wrongly, except for when they're reading all the tweets and decide that you're saying stuff that they don't want to be said and then shut it down.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's not that NBC comes out with it. It's that Twitter found it immediately and notified NBC. That's how anonymous your tweet is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, everything is tracked and traced by computers, if nothing else.
Sure. Sure. What do we got here? A few more stories. Did you see Randy Quaid, the thing about Randy Quaid? I guess we'll end with that. It's kind of a weird, out of left field deal. Randy Quaid exposes Hollywood to the Illuminati.
Yeah, I
guess,
go for it.
I guess you missed it. Randy Quaid came out and has claimed Keith, maybe you should read it. I can't read today.
Okay. Randy Quaid has claimed Heath Ledger, Chris Penn, and David Carradine were one of many celebrities whacked by a group of Hollywood criminals. Randy Quaid conspiracy to kill him and other Hollywood stars. Let's see, that's really weird.
Oh, that's not even a story. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So there you go. And it all just goes into some sort of strangeness. But, yeah, there's a video. If you know, just Google Randy Quaid, you know, exposes the Illuminati or something, and you can and watch this video. And in the recorded podcast, maybe I'll play it right here. But it's just very strange. He basically just comes out and says that there's some shadowy elements in Hollywood whom is trying to extort money from him in a certain way and has been doing this for quite a long time. And apparently this shadowy force is also known to cause deaths, you know, and listed
several and almost cried. He got teared up and almost cried when he listed several of his friends, people who he had acted with, who had been, you know, killed under mysterious circumstances, and then points out how strange it is that so many people in Hollywood die so young under strange circumstances, which, you know, definitely piqued my interest. Of course, the reporter who was standing there right, you know, at the time that he said all this, his lawyer who was standing beside him took questions, and one of the closest reporter, I mean, I almost fell over laughing the way he said it, but it was just like textbook right out of a freaking mainstream media handbook. It was like, he asked something like, do you have any idea how crazy your client sounds right now, or how delusional and paranoid your client sounds right now? Just calling, just doing their best to be objective and calling the crazy card right away. Just, you know, don't look into it. Just, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's classy.
That's classy for sure. Well, on that note, we got a few minutes here. We'll probably wrap it up with some commercials here in just a minute. We'll take a quick break. Want to try and direct everybody to go over to revelationsradionews.com. There's subscribe tab. You can subscribe to our iTunes feed or subscribe to the RSS feed right there. Also going to hopefully be putting up a blog post in the next couple of hours concerning the whole Chick-fil-A thing. So anyway, Andrew, do you have any other show notes or anything of note you wanted to touch on?
No, I don't know. Thank you to the person who left the awesome donation.
Oh, yes, sure, yeah.
So,
yes.
I don't know if it's anonymous or not, but thank you very much.
I don't know if it is either, but yeah, we received a generous donation and greatly appreciate that. So, yeah. On that note, God bless everybody, and stay in the spirit.
Hey, Vicky, Hottie, and Reno, what are you doing on Freedomizer Radio on Thursdays 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Fridays at 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time?
And I am going to be hosting the Heated Conversation.
Please join us as we talk about UFOs, weather, planets, asteroids, earthquakes, spirituality, HARP, secret societies, and current events. I think we should add that we always have great guests to pack chat room and very interesting conversations. With your occasional quirky way we give the news.
Just remember, on Thursdays at 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Fridays 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, the Heated Conversation. Oh, and by the way, we have our always fun chat room at freedomizerradio.com. That's freedomizerradio.com. Just click the chat and listen button. See you there.
Hi folks, Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday, for Liberty Underground, The Moretti Report, the best 6 o'clock news on the web. Please join me, as well as my great co-host JoJo Norton, and our chat moderators Lynn and Anna, as we bring you the latest news, current events, analysis, and an occasional featured guest. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, y'all, this is Ron with Ron's Media Maker. I would like to invite you to listen to my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our international listeners, that's 1,800 hours to 2,000 hours Greenwich Mean Time right here on Freedomizer Radio. I always interview a broad spectrum of guests ranging from entrepreneurs to the eclectic. I also like to keep you up to date on the latest breaking news in geopolitics, world events, astronomy, technology, science, and how it relates to the 21st century and an emerging global order. Be sure to visit our website at freedomizerradio.com, take part in our lively chat room, visit our sponsors, or read breaking news articles on our Twitter feed. You can also find out more about the wide variety of shows and hosts at freedomizerradio.com. If you'd like to comment or speak with a guest during the show, just give us a call at 347-324-3704.
Hey, Val Villano here.
I want to encourage you to stop by on Sunday night from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, right here on Freedomizer Radio. Val Volano Show, we will be covering things of deprogramming from the world and the system and dogma and religion. Basically, anything and everything is going to set your mind free, and that's what it's all about, people. So come on by Sunday night, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, right here, where freedomizers are fighting for their freedom.
Hello, everyone. This is Joanna Johnston. I'm finally on. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry, you guys. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm telling everybody that I'm on now on Facebook. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Well, I forgot. Proof, I ended up changing the password, so I totally forgot to ask them ahead of time, and I got kind of lost. So I'm so sorry about that. But I'm online, I'm here, and I'm feeling a little better. Very excited to be on with you guys, as always. You know, you guys are like my oasis away from everything. And, you know, I get to express myself and everything, you know, that's been going on. And it's been absolutely, absolutely wild, you know. My gosh, if you've seen my video already, I think you would know. It was pretty hectic today, as involving the chemtrails. You know, I started out today, and I had no idea what was happening. I felt really, really out of it, you know. I didn't feel really good. Our plan was to go to the cenote, which is like a hole in the ground, and it's like a lake, but it's not. And it's totally clear, pure water, and it has a lot of energy. And there's this place I was going to go to today called Koba. And it's next to a pyramid, and then right there has this water, and it's in a cave, and it's just absolutely amazing. So, like, when you go in, your energy just totally, you know, you start to awaken your pineal gland. So I was really looking forward to doing that today, and then I just felt really out of it. I felt really sick. You know, I had a really bad headache, and didn't know what it was. I felt really stuffy in the head, and I had just like sinusy headache. And I, you know, was trying to read this book, you know, from David Icke. He wrote this book, Remember Who You Are, and it really, really, really grabbed my attention. And so I read it, and I was trying to read it anyway, and I'm like, what the hell's wrong with me? Why can I not focus? Like, I felt like everything was a fog, you know? And it just felt really, really bad, you know. I didn't know what to do. And then, you know, I didn't even think about it. So I start turning, you know, putting some tunes on and everything, listening to some good music. And then all of a sudden, right out the window, I see these chemtrails. And the first thought was, no, you know, we're in Cancun. It's an international place. There's going to be tons of planes, you know, flying back and forth. I mean, that's just going to be a normal thing. Well, I look outside the window, and it was not, it was totally different. And I know exactly what chemtrails are and what they look like, and I'm sure all you guys know what they are. They're very ugly looking. You know, they spread out, and they just make this milky white substance across the sky. And it looked absolutely, you know, I just knew it. And I was just really PO'd, pissed off, okay? Because the main reason why we left the States, the main reason was to get away from the chemtrails. That was the reason why we left. You know, it wasn't anything else. It was the fact that, you know, we were living in San Diego, and then we were breathing in that, and it was just so bad. I started feeling that same feeling. Like, I felt like, you know, when you're in a very heavily populated area and you're getting sprayed on, you feel like your body is disconnected from your brain. And it does that to you. It makes you feel like you're not here, okay? It hit me really hard in Temecula when we were living there, so we ended up moving from there. And we're like, no, this is just, you know, it's not going to happen. We had family members come over, you know, didn't know nothing about the chemtrail. and then you can see how they acted, how they reacted. Like, they ended up passing out on our couch right there. They had no idea. They're like, oh, my God, I don't know what it is. I just feel so sleepy. And I'm like, yeah, have you looked up at the sky lately? I said, that's why. It was horrible. So, and, you know, and then the fact that one February I flew into from Cancun into into Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, and the TSA was there, and I was really mad because they were trying to have me scanned, go through those freaking scanners. And the guy, he wouldn't listen to me, and he said, no, you're going to go through the scanner. You know, so I dealt with a lot of freaking abuse in these places. You know, I'm traveling in a nice place. I come back. I'm real happy, excited, and then I get hit with these freaking Nazi, like, felt like I was in Nazi Germany. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, and I told them I'd opt out. And, you know, of course, they finally respected that, but it took forever for someone to come pat me down. So I thought, you know, this is it. I'm taking my kids out of this fucking country. Excuse my language. I had enough. And I love the United States as far as my country goes. It is my country. I was born there, you know. But I just feel it was just time to go. I mean, you can only stand up for so long against a monster. You know, you can only do so much. And if you're going against a machine constantly, a computer, and you're a human being, you have a soul, you have a consciousness, you realize that, wait a second, you know, I'm a lot bigger than this, and, you know, I need to go where my heart is telling me to go. And I think that a lot of people should do that as well. You know, you can stand in the face of adversity for as long as you wish, with all the proper documents in place, okay? Let's say you got all the proper documents and you're considered your sovereign or your secure party creditor or whatever, which is fine. But, you know, the things that you're going to have to deal with, you know, you're in a challenging situation. The documents, again, like I've said before, many, many radio shows, it will not stop the chemtrails. Okay, it will not stop them from poisoning your food, from poisoning your soil. You know, every time you want to eat food, or you think you're eating organic food at Jimbo's or you know, Whole Foods, I used to go there a lot. You think that you're eating organic food, you know, but I'm finding out now that it isn't all organic, and I can tell you why. You know, we drove on our way down to Cancun. We drove through this really beautiful area in the country, Mexico, like jungle. And these little Indian guys had a bunch of bananas, like these really little bananas. And we were so hungry, but I told my family, no, we're going to eat all raw on the way to Mexico. We're going to save as much money. We're not going to be eating out in these restaurants and spending a lot of money. We're going to save as much as we can. So the whole family, what we did, we ate raw on the way there. We had bananas, we had apples and oranges, and then, you know, very rare did we stop by at a little, you know, shop or restaurant or whatever, because there was, like, hardly anything in the way there. So we grabbed a bunch of these bananas, and we ate these bananas, and I could not imagine, I could not believe how juicy and tasty and sweet they were. They tasted like candy. I couldn't believe it. And the color of the bananas were like a yellow tinge to it. I mean, this is straight from the jungle. I've never had bananas like that in my life. They tasted like, oh, they're so amazing. I wish I could just give you guys some right now. But that goes to show that here's these places that I thought was organic, and I'm eating organic bananas, right? And I'm all thinking in my head, ooh, they're all organic. They're all pure. And they did not even taste nearly as delicious as these jungly bananas, okay? So that makes me wonder, wow, obviously, you know, we're being lied to. Again, you know, you're in the United States. They're going to say a bunch of stuff to make you happy. And even 75% of, or 75%, all I have to show is that as long as you have 75% of organic, I guess, that the fruit is organic, then it's considered all organic. But really, you know, it's just such a joke. So, you know, and anyway, so I felt like I was gaining a lot of weight there, you know, because that's what the chemtrails do. They actually hurt your thyroid. They hurt your throat, where your thyroid area, where it's very difficult to lose the weight no matter what you try to do. And, you know, the children, they're starting to suffer. They're gaining weight. You know, they're gaining a lot of weight because of all the crap that's, you know, dumping in the sky, which is composed of barium, aluminum, and fluoride, all these deadly poisons that were taken into our body. So, you know, it's just a wake-up call, you know, and I've told a lot of people, I mean, the good thing is, yes, we are fighting back. We are, you know, spreading the message far and wide. We're not running away. We're spreading the message no matter where we're at in the world, and that's the most important thing to do because that's our job. We have to wake people up. We have to let people know that this is not normal because the more that we allow this to happen, you know, it's just going to get worse and worse. And now, of course, we're hoping and I pray that something better is going to happen, you know, by the end of the year, that, you know, from what I'm hearing, like our energies are going to be moving up a notch, our frequency is going to be moving up, and there's going to be this new Earth, a 5D Earth. Who knows? I wish. I hope so. It would be wonderful. And then leave the 3D dimension behind, which is the world that we're living in at the moment. So it is very, very difficult, you know, to live every day and think, oh, you know, just knowing that it's just a part of you. I mean, once you open up, you know, you're like a virgin. Once you open up, there's no going back because you know what's really happening. So, yeah, I mean, I've, you know, done what I could in dealing with a lot of the stuff that I'm dealing with, and it's just not going to get rid of, you know, like I said, what we call a lot of these problems with the weather. So, anyways, we moved to Cancun. And we're here in Cancun, Mexico, and we're thinking, oh, awesome, we're breathing in fresh air, this is the life, you know, even though it's hot and humid, it's really hot and humid, it's unbearable, you know, not all roses here. But, you know, I'm thinking everything's perfectly fine, it's great, ooh, right on, at least we're breathing in pure, you know, pure oxygen, right? And then you look out the window, and then I see this, it's like, wow. What a wake-up call for me. So from what I've heard, if you've ever heard of Dr. George Green, okay, you know, he's, I'm sure you've heard about him through Project Camelot. He was a banker, and he rolled with the Illuminati. He knew the elite, or whatever you want to call them, and he had a really bad experience with one of the elites, I guess one of the presidents, and because they commented on his daughter in a very sexual manner, and he was, like, really working with these guys, and until they did that, he realized, wow, these people are very disgusting. So he's all the way in Ecuador now, and he stated that the reason why he came to Ecuador is because he already knew what was going to happen with the United States and a lot of the northern countries. He knew already, he's already seen it. He knows their plan. He knows it all, what's going to happen or what they plan to do. He says the first thing they're going to do is they're going to get into the water system, and they're going to deal with the air system. So that is the way to poison everybody there. The water is no good in the United States, and I'm sure here in Mexico as well. It is no good in, you know, in a lot of areas. And the air, they're definitely going to poison the air. So what are you going to do? So anyway, he ended up moving down there because why? The water is really good down there, and the air is really good down there. And also, majority of the elite, such as Bush, bought a bunch of property down in Paraguay. And the Rothschilds, I think it is, Rockefellers, like to go down to Chile every once in a while, right? But they are in control of a lot of the water supply down there, or they like the water because, you know, they're not going to live in a place where they're going to get poisoned every day. And they know this is happening right now. So that's pretty much what we plan on doing. We plan on going south. Like, as soon as we get, you know, we hear some word, I mean, we're going to stay here. We're going to try to stay here as long as, like, to, you know, for the December 21st kickoff here by Chichen Itza. We want to stay here for that at least this year. And then I think we're going to be heading on further south. And that's just going to be it. You know, we're going to go. I have a very strong calling to go down to Ecuador and Peru. And it's so funny. I'm reading David Icke's book, Remember Who You Are. And he talks exactly, he talks about this as well in his book, that he had the same calling to go down to Peru. He didn't know why, but he just had this calling to go down there. And, you know, I've had this calling since I was 20, and I feel like, you know, something is pulling me there for some reason. I don't know what it is, but maybe I need to go down there. And I had an amazing reading last night by a lady who, she's in Arizona, and very, very wonderful lady. She did a reading on me, and she's been my reader for about a couple years now. And I asked her, why the heck am I in Cancun? Okay, I'm in Cancun, but I knew, I felt it before I even came here that it was going to be a transitional place, but it wouldn't be a place for me to really stay because, you know, it's not really what I want here. Sure, you got the beautiful water, but that's pretty much it, okay? And she says the reason why you're there is because you're there to open up, to activate something there. Your energies are going to activate, your chakras, your pineal gland, all that's going to be activated when you go to these sacred centers or sacred temples, which I've experienced in Tulum last week or 2 weeks ago. It wasn't too long ago. But she said that what's going to happen is we're going to be experiencing a lot of these energies, and I'm here to basically ground the energy here or get more energy here. And something about, I guess, there's going to be some more ETs coming down, and like I said, I'll know when I actually see them. It would be nice. I've seen a lot of UFO activity in Oregon. I've seen it on the way going past Mount Shasta. It was absolutely, it was breathtaking what we saw. But she says that I'm being led to come down here for that reason, because supposedly they're gonna meet with me here and to meet with a lot of people that are being called in certain areas. So listen to your heart, listen to your soul. If you feel that, you know, hey, you fought enough, you've done what you could do, and nothing, and it's not getting through these terrorists, maybe it's a reason for you to leave. Maybe it's a reason for you to go and follow your heart and go somewhere else where this place is calling you, because those are the ones that are actually going to be moving away from that low-frequency energy. And maybe it's just for you to go experience something else instead of living in that same box of constantly being in that little box forever, you know? So that's what I felt, and so we're down here, and we're just waiting to see what is going to happen. And I'm hoping to have this man on the show here tonight. He's supposed to be coming on. He's actually a local here in Cancun area, and he's a very amazing person. Oh, my God. His name is Gabriel, but he's probably having issues calling because it is long distance, and I've offered to, you know, have him use my phone or something else, but I haven't really heard from him yet. But he's had a lot of experience, I'm telling you. I mean, he used to live in North Carolina, okay, and he had some major serious experiences there where he was living by a base, Fort Bragg, and he was hearing some weird sounds in his ears. And he didn't know why. And it was so loud, it got louder and louder. He didn't know what was going on. And later on, his wife or ex-wife had the same experience. She started hearing things that got really, really, really loud. And I told him, I said, maybe it has to do with the underground bases there. Because when I was in the Army, and yes, I was in the Army, I wasn't in the Army very long, I was in Fort Gordon, Georgia, and I experienced similar experiences that it actually got me kicked out of the Army, because I had these weird experiences where I had flashing in the eyes. I was just ironing my BDU or Army uniform, and I had this experience. I saw flashing in my eyes and tunnel vision, and people sounded far away. It was the most weird experience I've ever had in my life. It scared the crap out of me. So I went through a total anxiety. I was crying. I didn't know what it was. And then it started happening like every week, constantly, until finally I got out, and it was in August of 2003. And I joined the Army 2002, April 2002. It was like right after the 9/11, you know, to support my kids. That was why I did it. But it was really... There's a lot of things going on that we don't really know about. A lot of things manipulating, you know, manipulating the energies around you, your DNA, the frequency, you know, through microwave technology, scalar energy, all that stuff. We have no idea what's going on. So anyway, he ended up leaving, this man, Gabriel, ended up leaving North Carolina, and he ended up coming back here to Cancun. And he said after he left, he's never felt so free in his life. He used to have anxiety attacks, panic attacks. He hasn't had anything, and I think he's been here for a few years. And, you know, and then he realized, he said, that it's just a really bad area. You know, the States is just, I have no desire to ever go back. I just felt this energy there, and it just wasn't right. And, you know, that's why where we're coming from here. We're getting to that point where if you're not feeling healthy, now it's your health you got to worry about. It's not really your finances or your debt problems. I mean, that's enough. That does cause stress, and it does. People will go crazy. But it has a lot to do with your health now. Now you got to worry about your health. You got to worry if you're going to have a heart attack tomorrow or not because of, you know, what you're breathing, the toxins. So it's just really, it's very frightening. So there is chemtrails going on here too. And, you know, you guys just have to wake up. Maybe, you know, there's a sign, you know, when things aren't working out with your mortgage and all that, because I know a lot of people are, like, trying to keep their houses and they're trying to stand their ground, and I can understand, you know, you worked for that house all your life. You don't want to end up being thrown out in the street and living in a friggin' tent. It's not right. It is very wrong what they're doing. I don't agree with it at all. But sometimes God has a way, if you want to call it God, has a way of talking to you and saying, you know what, it is time to move on now. Maybe it's time to move on now. And maybe you need to listen because maybe it's going to protect you from something else. You know, what if they do FEMA camp or something? You know what I mean? And you're in that home. Who knows? But it's a very frightening experience. You never know what could happen to you. So just know that there's a bigger energy at work, even though you're not really seeing it in front of you. There's a bigger energy at work that's going to enter your heart and tell you to go when it's time to go. Now, there's a lot of people out there, you know, I'm getting a lot of questions about the Secure Party Creditor stuff and the sovereignty stuff. And the great thing I will like to say is I'm going to be bringing in Robert Menard, who's absolutely awesome. He's actually been a real big inspiration to me back in 2009 when I first discovered his videos on a security of the person. I really love that one. And it really opened my eyes to realizing, wow, we are being run by these corporations. We are, oh my God, we have a birth certificate that is a bond, and it's circulating through the stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange. Our signatures are worth a lot of money. We're worth a lot of money. What is going on here? You know, waking up to so much, and thanks to him and thanks to others that along the way, he was one of the first ones, but he's going to be on my show next Sunday. I'm very, very honored to have him on next Sunday at this time, and he's going to be sharing with you a lot of what he's doing and what he has been doing and how he got into the sovereign movement, and, you know, we're going to be doing like a free flow, you know, and we're just going to flow, and I'm just going to let him talk. You know, I'm not going to really cut in. I don't like to cut in interviews. You know, to me, it's like when they have something important to say, I'm just going to let them say it. it's their time to be on that show, you know, because he has a lot to share with us. Very educated man, very intelligent. I mean, for him to get out of the box and really have the passion and motivation to see what's really happening, and he's doing his job, and he's doing a great job, you know. That's who I'm going to be bringing onto the show, and I'm very excited to have him on. So now as far as the Secure Party Creditor, you know, I got into the Winston Trout. You know, he has been educating people on the Secure Party Creditor stuff. I was part of the Creditors in Commerce. I actually went to their courses. It was a Mastery Commerce course. I was there for, I think, a few months. And they're awesome. They're very awesome people. I had a great, great time. But I had a mentor at the time who has a very strong background and knowledge in account science terminology, who's actually worked in the account science department and is a forensic investigator and has worked with Interpol and other forensic auditors to close down, shut down billionaire companies by putting a lien on them. Like, he actually worked in the department of that. He wasn't a part of the Patriot movement or anything that you see, you know, like, oh, I'm a patriot of the United States, you know, and like Tim Turner movement, okay? he actually worked in that department of account science. And from his knowledge, he has actually, according to him, many years ago, he actually put a lien on the Vancouver airport, so what he says. And it was for 6 weeks. He actually stopped the cash flow because they really pissed him off, okay? They did some really bad things to him because he was getting very close to the truth, and he had an operation of members who was really working with him. And they knew how to... how to get out of the system. They knew how to do it and how to use their system against them. And that's when they used the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code, which is utilized in many countries. It's universal. It's not just used in the United States. It's for foreigners. So, you know, he really went all out to do it. But because of that, you guys, he has dealt with a lot of bad, serious consequences. You know, he had an issue, one of his friends totally disappeared. He hasn't heard from him in years. They jumped into his money. Something happened. I guess they got into his account and something crazy like that happened. So, yeah, he was very successful with it, but then they turned on him and they did some really horrible stuff. Like, when you do liens on people like that, very powerful people, sure, you'll be successful at it, but you know what? You got to watch out. You better get the hell out of where you're at, or you better not let them know where the hell you're at. That's all I got to say. Because when you do that, you can really piss somebody off, and you can end up getting shot for it too. You know. So it's a very heavy duty thing, and I don't really advise people to do it. I just say, you know, just lean up your Bailey or straw man, whatever you want to call it. If you want to call it your straw man, in account science, we call it Bailey, and the secure party is a bailor. So we secure that, we secure the birth certificate, and we secure the, your passport, your ID, everything that is yours. You just secure that with a $10 quintillion lien on all adverse parties, including the CAFA reports, which are the comprehensive annual financial reports, like the fiscal. I guess in Canada they have something else. It's like the fiscal annual reports that they use, but he would actually call them up and ask for them, you know, and just act like he's a forensic or a foreigner doing business with them, and that, you know, he really loves their corporation, he really loves what they're doing with the city. I would love a copy of your annual report and see how well you guys are doing, and I'd like to invest in your stuff. But he would actually use that and, you know, add that as, get a hard copy of it and then add that onto the UCC-1 and put a lien on it, okay? Because and also get copies of their oaths and bonds, and he would find out that majority of these people do not have their bonds and oaths. A lot of them do not. A lot of these public officials are not operating constitutionally, and this is all in Canada. He's from Canada. He's from British Columbia, okay? So he had a lot of dealings with a lot of these people and found out that they did not have their bonds, and they were, of course, they're working for the Crown. And, you know, he just did a lot of stuff that was very, very accurate in how he did things, extremely accurate. You know, he did everything precise, would write letters, ask questions, show me a copy of your bond and oath. You know, want to see that, you know, you have a contract with the attorney general. I want to know that you guys are for real here. You know, you district attorney, do you have a contract with the attorney general? I want to know. And a lot of times they don't even answer because they do not have a contract with each other. So there's so much information he shared with me, and I'm very blessed to have him in my life at the time. And last thing I heard, he is creating a political party over there in Canada and working with some very really interesting people who knows how to do a micro nation and all that. And I have someone in my group, I like to say he's a good friend of mine because he is from Mexico, who's been working with Jaguar in the past, and he's creating a micro nation as well and working on some very important stuff as far as getting the UCC contract trust together. But I haven't really been following a lot of this because I've been on my own for a while, moving in my own little direction, just following my soul and my heart, you know. of where I need to be in life, you know, just kind of following that and going with my spirit and not get involved in karmic consequences. Because that and all, you have to deal with your karma sooner or later. And that's why we're here on this planet. You know, we're dealing with a lot of karmic issues here. Okay. So that's pretty much what I want to say. But I'm going to go ahead and get on commercials. And I'll talk more about some more information like always. All right, hold on.
Hi, folks. Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday, for Liberty Underground, the Moretti Report, the best 6 o'clock news on the web. Please join me, as well as my great co-host, JoJo Norton, and our chat moderators, Lynn and Anna, as we bring you the latest news, current events, analysis, and an occasional featured guest. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Howdy, folks. Buford T. Slaughter here. As part of my continuing rehabilitation, and in conjunction with my anger management coach and my parole officer, I am required to do community service in the form of public service announcements. The TSA needs you. If you're the kind of guy that doesn't mind looking at naked boys and girls as they walk through the naked body scanners, or if you don't mind pulling an 82-year-old grandma out of a wheelchair, beating the heck out of her, make sure she's not carrying any bomb-making equipment, and if you don't mind taking people that object to this kind of treatment, slapping the heck out of them, pulling them in the back room, and strip-searching them, then the TSA is for you. The TSA is hiring men and women to work at numerous locations around the United States. And the only qualifications are you must have longer than average index fingers, be able to sit and stare at a screen while naked people walk in front of you, and be able to take orders without any questions whatsoever. So, if you're interested in the TSA, please call 1-800-BROWN-SHIRT. 1-800-BROWN-SHIRT. And on a personal note, when the TSA does frisk you as you're going through the airport security, it is an act of love for the U.S. government. It is not an act of rape. So please do not beat them up. Thank you for your time.
From the people that brought you the roller coaster making game and who brought you the FEMA coloring books, it's the FEMA Camp Tycoon.
That sounds cool.
Here you will have over 800 concentration camps to choose from.
Wow.
You want Vegas? 29 Palms? Jacksonville? Start with Beech Grove, Indiana, and it's all yours. You'll learn how to get people on the red, the blue, and the yellow list.
I want to be red.
I want to be blue. Buy more trains. Get HR 645 passed, but don't pay the Senate too much money. You'll need to buy gas chambers with that. Collect barcode readers, sell souvenirs, and hit the high score on collecting millions of American people, I mean, right-wing extremists. Anyway, coming soon, FEMA Camp Tycoon.
Are you one of the tens of people who are tired of seeing chemtrails? Fed up with the government geoengineering you every other day? Take a dose of La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover Daily and you'll never worry about weather modification again. With great ingredients and quality vitamins from Mexico and China, like fluoride, barium, high fructose corn syrup, and colloidal mercury, your brain will be a virtual Etch-A-Sketch lickety-split La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover. Wow, I don't even remember the tagline for this, so it must be great.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Hello, everyone. Strana Johnson with Illuminating Minds on FreedomizerRadio.com, and I'm back. I'm totally back. So, yeah, I love that. I love that commercial. It's funny. I love Proof is so funny, man. He is an awesome guy. He really makes me laugh, I tell you. But, I've noticed, you know, I've been going back to the chemtrails. I have to talk about that because it's really on my mind. And I was looking at Star Family's comment here, very interesting, you know, about the drought. Yes, they do a lot. That's what the chemtrails do. That's another thing I wanted to bring up more than anything, besides poisoning you. The chemtrails, that's what they're used for. It's for weather modification. And it's to create tornadoes, it's to create hurricanes, it's to create even earthquakes. I've heard about the earthquakes. In a way, I'm not really sure. I'm sure maybe they might do nuke stuff for that one. But that is another issue. And, you know, I used to ask myself this, and I'm sure you guys probably ask the same question too. Why in the heck do we get more tornadoes in the United States than anywhere else? Okay, just recently I'm hearing stuff in England. Okay, maybe we've never seen that before as much. But you always hear stuff happening in the United States. I mean, it's like we got everything there. Everything. You got your hurricanes, you got your tornadoes, you got it all. And just recently, I mean, how horrible it is. Like, you know, you've heard about that. You know, like the tornadoes that hit, and I think it was in the Midwest in April. So many people died. Oh, my God, it's so freaking horrible. Oh, yeah. Oh, double kit, yes. All I can say is this. Here is a good link for you to check out. It's good to do your own research. Get some water, okay, get a jar and set it outside. And when there's a lot of chemtrails up in the sky, put it outside your door, and wait for it to rain. When it rains, you know, just take the samples and take it to some person who does scientific stuff, like a chemist or whatever, and let them see what they see. That's what I can say. And then also, when you see up in the sky, you know, especially when they're making funny marks, like X marks up in the sky, like it's right in your face, right? In your face, like in front of your face, saying, "Whoa." I mean, come on, let's play tic-tac-toe in the sky, why don't we? I mean, shit, doesn't people see it? Don't people see that? Okay? So that's what I'm saying. It's just kind of funny. It's like, oh, tic-tac-toe, XOXO. It's just fucking, to me, it's hilarious. I think one of the biggest places that are really hit with chemtrails is Bakersfield. Really bad. Holy cow, have you ever driven in L.A. through Bakersfield? In Ontario, I'm talking Ontario, California. It is so bad, man. It is, oh my gosh. It's like you don't even know what the color of the sky is anymore. It's not even blue anymore. It's like this total milky white substance color. Very, very bad, you know. And then you get this feeling like I'm here. You know what I mean? I don't know if you've seen my video. But I have a video, you know, like the one that I did post up here. I got the before, and I got the after, the harp in Cancun, Ernesto, and I got the after effect. If you haven't seen the after effect, I'm going to go ahead and post it, what it looks like afterwards. It's pretty crappy, man. It's not a pretty place. Oh, thank you so much, Double Kid. I appreciate that. Yeah. Oh, so you have gone through L.A., Oh, my God. You poor thing. Yeah, you know what? I think maybe it might affect the color of the moon. Who knows? I mean, if it can affect the color of the sky, it's absolutely disgusting, you know? So that's what I'm saying to everybody. You know, I mean, if we're going to do the whole secure party thing or the sovereign thing, you know, we got to shoot down those freaking planes. Otherwise, what's the point? You know what I mean? That's how I feel. It's like, let's get to the point. You know, a lot of people have left the United States. They're dual citizens. They're, you know, a lot of them that are dual citizens, you know, they've actually made the decision to actually renounce their American citizenship. That's how bad it's gotten. Because I guess they're running from the tax guy, or they're realizing, wait a second, you know, why are we paying so much taxes? Why do I have to pay double tax? There's a lot of people that are doing that. They're paying for their country tax, and then they got to pay the states. It doesn't matter if you live there or not, as long as you're a citizen of that country. So there's a lot of issues, but I say, you know what? Just look at what's going on in the sky right now. How can you breathe? You know how? And people, and you know what? You know how many times I ended up in the hospital? I ended up in the hospital 4 times for heart problems. And I'm sure a lot of my fans that have been following me for throughout the years have, you know, I've had videos of me, you know, like I was totally out of it. I actually went into the hospital 4 times, and they couldn't find anything wrong. They turned me away, or they'd say, oh, it might be a case of arrhythmia. You know, we see a palpitation. It's not an anxiety attack. It's, you know, there's something wrong with my heart. And I'm going to explain the symptoms to you guys to educate you guys a little bit so that way you know that whenever you get this experience, you'll know what's going on. But go to the hospital if you do experience this, okay? You know, even if they turn you away or not, you know, whatever you got to do, just do what you have to do. You don't want to fall over and faint. But a lot of people are dropping dead, okay? I'm not lying to you. A lot of people are dropping dead. It's either because of the chemtrails in the sky, or it's because of the energies of the Mother Earth that's actually rising, and it's rising every single day. The Schumann resonance is known, the Gaia or Mother Earth's heartbeat is known as the Schumann's resonance. When they have noticed, they've done research on it, and the energy and the heartbeat of the Mother is moving very, very fast. So what happens with her occupants, we start to move very fast. Our energy starts to move very fast. Our DNA is shifting. Therefore, our heart rate is moving in a very high, rapid speed. So if you've never noticed heart palpitation before and you're a very young age and you're like, what the heck's going on? Why do I have heart palpitation? Why do I have arrhythmia? You know, the closing in on the chest. You know, you can't breathe. You're feeling like someone is pushing down on your chest. You know, or feeling disconnected from your body, like you're about to faint, like your soul is disconnected, like your body is getting numb, or your legs and feet are getting numb, and you're about to fall over. Those are the symptoms that I had living in San Diego, living in Temecula. And it's funny because a lot of these places also had very highly sprayed area. Temecula is in Riverside County. Beautiful city. I'm in love with that area. We would have never left. I didn't want to leave the place. It was the most beautiful area. It was perfect for the family. I didn't want to leave at all. But the fact that they were spraying so much it was horrible. We were feeling like we were on drugs. And I felt like that today. Here I am in Cancun, and it's like, what do you do, right? Where are you going to go? So this, because they're... Because people are, you know, you think about it, you know, these terrorists, I call them, are so advanced in their technology. They don't no longer have to come onto the soil and try to start war with you with machine guns. They don't have to do that anymore. All they got to do is do the HAARP thing. And it goes all the way to HAARP. It's this technology that they use out of Alaska that is affecting it, everything going on right now on the planet. You know, they can make anything happen, and they make it and they make it look like, it's Armageddon, it's the end of the world. And so what do? They play a bunch of videos or movies about the end of the world, right, like 2012. Yeah, get this in their mind so that way, you know, whenever they see all these rapid weather changes, they're going to think that it's God coming back, you know. That's what I think. And, you know, the more that you see this stuff. And so anyway, Hurricane Ernesto's coming this way, supposedly, all right? If you haven't heard about Hurricane Ernesto or Tropical Storm Ernesto and Tropical Storm Florence, which is coming from the Atlantic, Ernesto is coming into Jamaica. It's supposed to be hitting Jamaica very soon. After Jamaica, it's supposed to hit Cancun over here. They say by the time it hits Cancun, it's going to be a hurricane category one, you know, hurricane. I don't know. But if it is, you know, there's nowhere else I'm going to go. I'm going to sit here, I guess. I mean, that's all I can do. you know, where can we go? I mean, I can fly out, but, you know, I might as well just sit tight because, I mean, these houses are pretty darn strong, and I'm not on the beach, so I'm, like, miles away from the ocean, which is good. But, you know, after I noticed about, you know, I saw it on the news yesterday about this hurricane coming this way, you know, I told everybody, I posted it on Facebook, and then out of the blue, I see these chemtrails. So I'm thinking, oh, isn't this a quinky-dinky, you know? Real coincidence here. Not. So maybe the reason why I'm here in Cancun, maybe it's the fact that I'm here to call their bluff, to let everybody know that it's happening even here in Cancun, you know? And it's good. I mean, the more people that actually comes out and they take videos and pictures of these chemtrails, no matter where you're at, don't just sit there and look at them and say, oh, shit, here's another chemtrail. Take videos of them and upload those suckers, please, and locate them. Just say where you're at. This is where this is happening. Because the more awareness, the more the people are going to really stand up and say, whoa, enough's enough. But I heard it's a private group that's being funded privately that's doing this, and they're foreigners. And these planes are not, like, supposedly there's not even people in these planes. They're like these robots or drones or something like that. So it's very shocking to see this. So it's like, you know, God, where do we run to? Where do we go now? You know? So I guess our best bet is possibly going down south to Ecuador. That's one of the areas. You know, if you feel a calling, that's what you got to do. Another place I've actually heard of, and I'm sure you've heard of before, have you ever heard of Daminor or Daminhur? I'm trying to say it right. In Italy. That is a very amazing place. You should definitely look it up. The place is on a very highly synchronic zone. And what I mean by synchronic zone, it's a huge vortex of energy. It's like the mother of, you know, Mother Earth's energy running through these little areas that is raising the frequency of that particular place. Kind of like in Peru or these mystical sites over here by, you know, the pyramids. The energy, the frequency is up at such a very high speed. And I feel that when you're in those particular areas, see, I'm still an hour and a half, and you know, hour and a half away from Tulum, where these very amazing energies are and these temples are. But I feel that if you are to be near those areas or synchronic lines, possibly these chemtrails aren't going to affect you as much, because when your body is at a certain pH balance. Okay, if it's below 6 or below 7, way below, the chemtrails are going to affect you, okay? But if your energy is reaching up to a 6 or 7 pH balance, the energies will not affect you. You will not even feel anything happening to you. It only affects those who are operating at a very low level. So the best way to do it, if you are in these very horrendous areas, such as myself now, again, is drink as much oxygenated water, alkaline level water, take in a lot of raw fruits as much as possible, and do some exercise, walk. Do what you can do to bring that pH balance up. Also, another thing that you can do is, I'm sure you've heard about it, I brought it up many times before, is taking an Oremus. That stuff is very amazing. There's places you just look it up, or monatomic gold. You take a little bit of it, and it brings a lot of oxygen within your body. And that's supposed to bring your pH balance up. Now, I also heard something about baking soda. I don't know too much about that. I haven't done it. But somehow, I guess that's supposed to be bringing your pH balance up. But anything to bring it up, you know, do what you got to do if you're living in that area. Also, there's things called chemtrail busters that you might want to use. You know, that's filled with organite. If you've ever heard of organite, that's a really, it's mixed with like copper, gem, and these metallic metals. And it's in this like this acrylic filling. And you put it in a bucket, okay? And what you're going to do is, you know, you can put it outside in your backyard. And just look it up, chemtrail busters. Let me write that down for you guys. And then create those and put them in your backyard or wherever you feel that the chemtrails are coming near you. And supposedly, from what I've seen anyway on the videos, they're very powerful. They will break up the chemtrails, like, within minutes. You know, within minutes from what I saw. And you can go to any hardware store, and you can get everything that you need. I mean, anything that you can do to protect yourself, you know, because it's very, very, it's horrible to have this. Yes, oh, gosh, yes, I do see Paraguay. That's awesome. Uruguay. Okay, Star Family, thank you. Uruguay is absolutely, I heard, is very beautiful, too. And like I said, a lot of places in South America, they're not going to dump too much stuff there anyway because, again, the elite live down there. And, you know, of course, I mean, if you were an elite and you want to control the world or control the United States, what are you going to do? You're not going to live in the United States, are you? You're going to live somewhere else, especially if you're doing a lot of weather modification and poisoning of the food and water and all that stuff. You're not going to really be living there. So, I mean, that is another option for you to check out. I heard Uruguay, by the way, thank you so much, Star Family, for bringing this up. But Uruguay, you can actually become a permanent resident or get your passport within 3 months, 3 or 4 months is what I heard, if you were to go fly down there. For those of you who are not dual citizens, you can go to Uruguay for that. You can also go to Belize for that. And you can become a permanent resident for 1 year, and then you can get your passport, your Belizean passport. So he's going to have a second passport now. You know, and a lot of you who are here, you guys are awake and aware. Pat yourself on the back because this is really important information. This is information that's going to really, really, really help you out. Okay, because a lot of the people that are asleep, they're thinking, it's just a bad economy. The economy is just the economy. That's it. God, what the bad economy. They don't understand that there's a force out there that's creating this economy. Okay, but I like to also believe that something major is going to be coming our way, and I like to believe that pretty soon we're going to find out exactly who we are and where we come from, where our ancestors truly come from. I like to believe that by next year, early next year, if not by the end of this year. So, I mean, whatever's happening right now, if you're like up to your neck on debt and mortgage crap or whatever, just know it's going to be temporary. And it's only going to be a short amount of time. But if you want to get on top of your sovereignty to claim that, that would be very, very awesome as well. And to make you feel better, you know, to do that. Robert Menard's got a group out there. It's Free Man on the Land. And he's going to be sharing with you a lot of his information and places that you can go because people are doing that all over the world now. He's got groups in South America. He's got groups in South Africa. He's got groups all over the place. So it'd be so awesome if you guys come back next Sunday during the same time, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and to come listen to Robert Menard. And he's definitely going to help you with the sovereignty thing. And I really love his way. I really do. I think it's a lot easier. It's not that expensive, you know, because to be a secured party creditor and all that, it can be very pricey. Why? Because you have to pay those that are actually going to be working on your documents for you. A security agreement, really a real properly done security agreement, and this is done by Jaguar, not by me, okay, that's going to cost $1,500. That's a lot of money for a lot of us. Why? I mean, a lot of these packages actually go for even more. I mean, security agreements can even go as far as $50,000 to people that are, you know, that have a background in account science. They've been secure party. They know everything about the UCC and all that and the financing department. And for proper paperwork, that's what they pay. It's very high quality paperwork. Okay. But really, sincerely, I really feel, you know, as long as you write something on a piece of paper, whether, you know, like your claim of right, something that Robert Menard was talking about, notice of claim of right, you write that down, you put your soul into it, your energy into it, and you write, I think you should handwrite it and put it underneath your pillow or mattress and sleep with it. Put your energy into it, your belief into it. And really, that's all you need. Because what you're doing also, you're putting it on there. It's like a notice. You're putting a notice to everybody. You know, it's like a affidavit of, you know, what is it? Affidavit of truth. You're putting your notice on there, and you're letting everybody know, okay, this is me. I'm a sovereign. I am not part of your, you know, society. I, you know, rescind, you know, all your rights over me and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, you just basically write a whole list of things that you are, you know, who you are and what you are not a part of anymore, a part of the corporation. And then when they send you an ugly debt letter and they try to make you pay, then you say, yes, I conditionally accept your offer. I conditionally accept your offer, provided that you show me proof that I am still an American, you know, citizen operating under your corporation, let's say. Show me proof of that, or show me proof that, you know, that you are not a non, show me that you're not a for-profit corporation. Can you show me proof of that first before I pay you anything? Show me proof that you guys are not in debt. I conditionally accept your offer, but show me proof that you're not in debt. I mean, this is all stuff I learned with creditors and commerce, too. And that stuff really, it does work a lot, but, you know, you can only do so much. And you have to stand up for your belief. You know, you really got to put your foot down and stand up for your belief. You know, it's not just the paperwork that does it. It's knowing what you put on there that does it, the wisdom behind it. So that way when you ever get tested and you get a knock on the door, you know how to stand up for yourself when the time does come. And you let them know, sorry, but I conditionally accept your offer, you know, me, you know, doing the secure party thing. I conditionally accept your offer that you prove to me that you are, you know, that you have your oaths and bonds and that you're not swearing to the crown. You know, if you're a lawyer, that you're not swearing to the crown or some foreign entity out there. You know, show me proof that, you know, you're following with Hague's convention, you know, that you're for humanity. You know, show me proof that you have a contract with, you know, so-and-so or whatever. You know, it's very, very easy. The sovereign way. I think it's very easy, and it's simple but stupid. It's like, you know, you got to keep it simple and stupid. Meaning that it shouldn't be so freaking difficult to claim your sovereignty. It really shouldn't be. I mean, you are sovereign soul no matter what, who you are, where you live, where you go. It's just claiming. It's by doing that, it's like you become aware of it. That's all. And I think, you know, Robert Menard is the way to go. I think he's awesome. I like him. You know, he gets me excited, and I think he's going to get everybody excited as well. You know, he gets you, you know, moving in that direction. I mean, he talks to people, he has interviews with people, and he just lets them know how he feels, you know. And there's a lot of group of people that gets educated. And the most funny thing is when you go to these people who work for the government and you ask them questions, they have no idea what the heck you're talking about. Like, recently I went to Norwalk not too long ago. I had my birth certificate, and I was trying to claim it back. And by, you know, telling them, hey, you know, I want to take here, you know, I want you to get rid of this, get rid of it, get it off the data, and give it back to me. This is my property. And I have a video of that somewhere. And they were freaking out all over the place because I said, you know, the moment I asked them that and they didn't want to do it, then I asked them, can you please provide, show me a copy of your oaths and bonds, please? They wouldn't do it. They sent us, like, all the way downstairs. They sent us upstairs. They sent us downstairs. I mean, they were just playing freaking games with us. It was funny. And seeing how they were freaking out, they're huddling over each other, like, oh, my God, what do we do? You know, we got a oh, sheep that's waking up here. And they actually, they threatened to get a police on me to escort me out of the building. And I said, hey, you guys got a copy of your oath? That's all I need. I want to know that you guys are for real here, that you're operating lawfully here. And none of them wanted to show me that. So, you know, you're dealing with people that have no idea. You know, they've been educated by the system, and they have no idea what's going on. And personally, to tell you the truth, I mean, I'm about ready to enroll my kids in one of the schools here, in the private schools here in Mexico. But I, you know, inside my stomach, I'm feeling like, you know what, I don't even know if I even want to do it now. I mean, I've already paid for 1 month, but I'm already sensing a little bit of the organization, that, you know, just the, oh, are they vaccinated? Can I have a vaccine record? You know, they have to have this, that, you know, little things like that just kind of like tells me, you know what, just 1 month, and then, you know, I'm going to just continue to homeschool you guys or put you in another place where, you know, they're more for, you know, the development of the child, the indigos, the crystals, you know, that they're aware of their abilities. And, you know, like Montessori school, you know, some of those schools are just, you know, homeschool the children. I mean, we should have the freedom to do that. And the cool thing here in Mexico, yeah, you have the freedom to homeschool your children. Sometimes in the States, depending on what state you are in, you really don't have that freedom. They give you hell for it, which is very wrong. Because they want to control your children, and they want to know what's going on with your kids. They want to be able to tell you how you should raise your children and what shots they need to be getting. So, you know, again, there's a lot of things that you have to take in, and being a sovereign, mom or a sovereign father, and that's how I feel. It's like, you know, I'm just so over the whole system now. And I know exactly what they do. They do it to control people and manipulate, and it's a bunch of lies. It's like, first of all, before you can even tell me how to act in the system, how to operate in the system or operate on this world, why in the hell can't you tell me where the hell I come from first? Why is it such a freaking hard ass? Why is it such a hard question to answer? Shouldn't you know where the heck we come from first? Shouldn't we know this first? That's like the most easiest thing that we need to be answering before you can even tell us or order us around. Who are we and where do we come from? What planet do we come from? Do we come from somewhere else? You know, if you can't even do that, then this whole concept of education, I'm sorry, you guys, is BS. So it all depends on us to take back this is taking back your sovereignty by utilizing your consciousness. This is without paperwork. This is just saying, you know what, this is bullshit, and I choose to not raise my children in this. And if anything, the children that's coming in now, especially now these days, they're here to teach us a few things or two. They're here to teach us to remember, you know, remember who we are. So, you know, that's very, very important. Like I said, you don't need paperwork to be sovereign. You just need education in the right stuff that you need to learn from someone who really knows what's going on, and also doing your own due diligence and your own research. But really, you guys, don't be afraid. If you feel like you need to take your kids out of school, don't be afraid of it. You know, I've heard the horror stories. I've heard the horror stories from other mothers. Oh, my God, you know, I was about to take my kid out of school, and then they're threatening me. They want to take me to court. And I'm just like, you know what you tell these effers? You know what you tell them? You say, sorry, you know what, guess what? I'm moving out of the country. That's all you got to say. Don't get into an argument with them like, oh, because, you know, what you're doing is wrong. They're not going to listen to you. But this is what I did. My husband actually did. He took my son Hunter out of the school. And he told them straight up, he says, they go, oh, well, what school is he going to go to? And they go, you know what, for your information, it's not really any of your business, but they're going to Mexico. And another thing, he was just a kindergartner, and he got his jacket ripped off right away in San Diego. Nice little jacket. They ripped it off. I mean, just a bunch of garbage in those areas. You know, they just don't really care. There's no morality or no nothing. And of course, you know, people don't. You know, they're asleep. Everyone's like, dumbed down. So there's a lot of theft. No one's, you know, knowing what's going on. So he basically told him straight. He goes, hey, you know what? I took my kid out, and if you want to know anything else, we're moving out of the country. I mean, you don't even have to tell them that where you're going. You just tell them that you're out of the country. And you know what? They'll shut up. And that's another way too. Like, if you want to get out of you got these creditors after you, and they're like, we're gonna sue you. And you know, you say, I'm sorry, it's gonna be hard to sue me if I'm in a different country. You know, send it to this address or something, and get a friend from a different country and just have them send it to you. And then once they do that, they have to close the case or whatever because they can't do anything. It's out of their jurisdiction. Use that. You got to be bigger than the little country that you're in, okay? You're not, you know, we're only focused, we're in California or we're in Arkansas. And you know what? Get, widen your mind, broaden that brain of yours. The planet is your home. It isn't just the country that's your home. The whole planet is your home. It is your home. You know, there is no division. It is just made up, and it is an illusion. It is not real. Okay, so, you know, by saying that, you know, just know that, hey, this whole world's your planet, and you have the freedom to go wherever the hell you feel like you need to be going, you know, and they can't tell you what to do and how to do it, you know, that's just it. It's none of their business. Anyways, I'm going to go in for another commercial break, and anybody else who has any questions, feel free to either chat it or call in, okay? We've got 20 more minutes here. Thanks. Do you believe we are not alone? Are you intrigued by the paranormal and psychic phenomena? Have you ever wondered if there was something abnormal about how the society operates? Do you believe you are here to do more on this planet? Do you feel as though you are living in a prison country or planet rather than a sovereign nation? Does it feel like you never had any constitutional rights or that they are ignoring it as if it wasn't important? Join me, Joanna Johnston, psychic empath and spiritual warrior, on Illuminating Minds on FreedomizerRadio.com every Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, beginning on January 8th, to move further down the rabbit hole.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof negative. I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day. And I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Is it, you buffoon?
It appears there's a new show on Freedomizer Radio.
What? This can't be. Does Lord Rothschild know about it?
Nope. I wasn't gonna.
Well, inform him immediately.
But, Bob, there's something you should know.
What is it, you simpleton?
Well, Bob, it's about the host.
Spit it out, man.
Well, Bob, the host is none other than Max Casey from the Black Market Liberty Show.
This can't be. How did this happen?
Attention, all New World Order and UN troops. Spread the word. No one is to listen to the show. Do not tune in. We must stop Max Casey and keep people from listening to the Black Market Liberty Show at all costs. The New World Order is counting on it.
Liberty Show with Max Casey, Fridays at 6:30 Central and Saturdays at 8 Central on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey, y'all, this is Ron with Ron's Media Matrix. I would like to invite you to listen to my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our international listeners, that's 1,800 hours to 2,000 hours Greenwich Mean Time right here on Freedom Out of the Radio. I always interview a broad spectrum of guests ranging from entrepreneurs to the eclectic. I also like to keep you up to date on the latest breaking news in geopolitics, world events, astronomy, technology, science, and how it relates to the 21st century and an emerging global order. Be sure to visit our website at freedomizerradio.com, take part in our lively chat room, visit our sponsors, or read breaking news articles on our Twitter feed. You can also find out more about the wide variety of shows and hosts at freedomizerradio.com. If you'd like to comment or speak with a guest during the show, just give us a call at 347-324-3704.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
Hey, everyone. This is Joanna Johnston with Illuminating Minds on FreedomizerRadio.com, my awesome favorite station on the planet. Oh, yeah. So I'm back here again. I hope you guys are enjoying this show tonight. Just getting you guys all prepped up and ready for next Sunday with Robert Menard. I'm going to be talking with him again on his sovereignty and what is going on in beautiful Canada. And I tell you, I've been to Canada. I've been to Vancouver. It's absolutely beautiful. That is one of the places I would love to live. Like, if we were to just make a decision before we go to Ecuador, I would definitely move to Canada. It's a beautiful place, and it seems like there's things actually really happening there. Like, they're really listening to the people. You know, there's a big movement going on, and it just seems that, you know, even the police or the peace officers are really, really, really listening to the people. Oh, good night. Good night, Star Family. Yeah, so it's very, really awesome, and oh, my God, and Kimmy's from Canada. Oh, yeah, so, I mean, it is such a beautiful place. Oh, my gosh, and the people are so sweet there. I mean, a lot of the Canadians that I've dealt with are just wonderful people, too. But, you know, if I wanted a little different change, and also because I just want to, you know, love to stay as a foreigner. It's fun to be a foreigner, too. You know, when you live in other places, you're not part of the whole, you know, the whole gig. You know, you kind of retain your foreign status no matter where you go, which is awesome. You just don't give in into a lot of their stuff. But there's a lot of things going on there, you know, and I guess there's supposed to be a march. I don't know, Kim, do you know if there's going to be a march going on? I think it's a march. Let me see. Let me check really quick on my someone posted something to me earlier. From Ottawa. I'm going to go ahead and share this with everybody here because she's going to send me something on it. She said, this lady Lisa, she's from Sovereign, one of my Sovereign Warriors, she says that she's going to be attending the march from Pine Ridge to Ottawa Supreme Court. They're starting to gather now. So I guess it's like a big thing happening. There's going to be a big march going on to the Ottawa Supreme Court. I don't know if you guys heard of anything like that. If anything, I'd love to be there myself. I totally would love to go. you know, I wish I could just like, you know, like beam me up and then I'm there, right? You know, especially for certain events like that. You know, you want to be there to stand up with the people and help them out. A lot of interesting developments in Canada, so it's very, very exciting. I mean, heck, I mean, even marijuana is, I think it's legal there, right? So, I mean, there's just so many great developments there, but, yeah, so who knows? I mean, I might end up going back up there some other time, maybe next year or maybe earlier. Depends on what is going to happen. But one place I like to go check out is Toronto. I have a couple friends in Toronto area. So, yeah, you know, but the most important thing is a lot of people are waking up now, and that's very important. And know and remember why you guys are here, you know. Also, if you ever want to figure out, you know, more on your past life and why you're here and you're just getting upset and you're like, God, why? You can always do a past life regression. It really helps out a lot, you guys. I went through some past life regressions, a Dolores Cannon style, and I tell you, it really, really brings you into like another planet, you know, of who, where you are, who you were, what you did in a past life, and why you came here. And that way it would actually fill that little gap and hole within you. So that way whenever you get down and depressed and say, oh my God, I just want to get out of this world, why am I here? Well, that is the best way to go is, you know, find out, go within yourself and be able to channel that energy and find out why you came here. In my past life, I got stabbed several times in my heart area. It wasn't pretty. And by the way, I got a question here. I'm going to go ahead and take this question real quick. Hold on. Hello, you're on the air, 734.
Hi, Joanna.
Hello. Oh, is this Jill?
You know it is.
Hey. Oh my gosh, how are you doing, girl?
I'm
long time
doing
to talk.
Wonderful. I know. But you know, I'm sitting here listening to you, and you tickle my soul.
Oh, I do. Oh, that's so awesome.
I mean, you
Thank
know,
you.
I feel a very strong connection with, you know, a lot of you guys. I mean, and tonight my computer's broke, so, you know, I've been sitting here on the phone listening.
Oh, no.
But
well,
girl,
thank you for listening and tuning in. How have you been? What's been going on
girl,
in your journey?
Well, you already know. The universe
yeah.
is the universe is speaking to me. I mean, I just listening to you tonight and just, you know, all this worry. I mean, girl, I can't seem to get away from these stupid courts trying to go after me for stupid shit.
Right.
But,
oh,
you
wow.
know, let me tell you something. Rob Ryder, you know how much I've mm-hmm. sung praises about him. He hasn't had any emails sent for, like, the last 2 months, and just a couple days ago. You know, because I'm always checking my Gmail to see, you know, do I have any posts from him, because this stuff is always juicy information. But the other day, I got like 12 emails, and evidently the gal that posts his emails, she's been posting stuff the last 2 months, but she didn't realize it wasn't actually, there was something wrong with the website, so it wasn't going out to folks. So in the past few days, I've gotten like 30 emails with all this great information. I mean, and you talking about, you know, the secure party stuff. I mean, because, you know,
yeah.
I had listened into your show last week. I wasn't on to listen, you know, live, but listen to it. And just everything we're going through, I mean, the secure party, the sovereign, I mean, it's all about claiming your domicile. He's finding this out. I mean, these guys live in Michigan, and there's these guys up in Alpena, Michigan, that have taken their certificate of live birth and taken it and had it notarized. I mean, they typed up an acknowledgement, you know, claiming that they are alive, that they are a child of God. I mean, you know, basically claiming Christ consciousness. We're not dead.
Right.
We're not this dead corporate entity, this all capital letter name. Sorry, folks, that's not me. You know, I mean, and it's fine, Joanna, because this scripture a couple weeks ago kept going through my head, and I wasn't sure what exact scripture it was, but I knew the verse because it said, you know, me being raised a Jehovah's Witness, where it says, I am Jehovah. Besides me, there is no one else. That's how I thought that it was worded in the translation that I was, you know, raised on. But the other day, you know, thinking mm-hmm. about it and that coming to my head, I Googled it and then I looked. But it says, I, Jehovah being not the all capital letter, but, you know, capital J with a lowercase. That's our given name. We're have Jehovah in us. You feel where I'm coming
right.
from?
Right.
And
oh,
it's
I
standing
totally
up
agree.
And letting them know who we are. But these guys, evidently, the one they had pulled him over or something. I can't remember the story right off. But they were trying to give him five different charges, but when they ran his ID because he's done the certificate of live birth, you have a nice day. Mm-hmm. They were like, you have a nice day, and let him go.
Wow,
so,
whoa, really?
Yes,
wow.
Yes, Joanna. I mean,
that's
this
exciting.
Is such powerful, exciting information. I mean, that car accident a couple summers ago, remember that with my husband when that happened out in front of that house?
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
house
my God,
yes.
Yeah. I remember. Uh-huh.
Well, now the attorney's coming after us. And a few weeks ago, somebody had come and knocked at the door. And, you know, I mean, I didn't go to Secretary of State and change my address from that house because I still believe that land out there is ours. You feel
right.
Where I'm coming from?
Exactly.
I've got it on
record.
Oh, I
hear you.
I've got it on record down at court right now. They're out there remodeling the inside. Well, that's beautiful. Because I always said Extreme Home Makeover was coming to my house.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you feel where I'm
there.
Coming from?
I
mean,
I
right
I
now,
know,
Joanna, being up here in this apartment, I mean, 2-bedroom apartment with 3 teenagers, not fun. But you know what? I'm here for a reason. I mean, I've had this one young gal who's miserable, saw my daughters laying outside in bikinis one day, and it's like ever since then I've been getting nothing but complaints. And it's like, you
oh,
know,
no.
she's on to that, you know, 3 complaints, then we can get you out, you know, you'll be kicked out. Bitch, you don't know who you're messing with. I mean, because it's funny, Joanna, because the manager here at our apartment complex was the girl that my oldest son went to prom with. I mean, they were friends, you know, back in high school. But, you know, still the community where my kids mm-hmm. have all grown up and gone to school and whatnot. But, you know, it just...
Yeah.
She's with me because she's not only the manager, she's my neighbor. I mean, out here in the back, I'm the only one... That comes out. I got lawn chairs outside. I got a little garden up here alongside because we're on the bottom floor. You know, and they're trying to say that, oh, well, your balcony area is really just this little area under the window. Well, that may be true, but you know what? This is also the common area. People can come out and sit. Nobody comes outside. It's like, are you serious? And, yes, it's been hot here, but in the evening it cools down. Everybody needs to get outside for a while and you know, not be cooped up in the air conditioning.
Right.
Because it has been horribly hot. Horribly hot. I mean,
I heard you're still in Michigan? Are you in another area?
Nope,
I have
in
a girlfriend who's here in Cancun. She flew from Michigan. And she's, you know, staying with some family over here. And she was telling me, like, she found out how horribly hot it is over there. And here we're complaining about how hot it is over here because it is.
Well, you know.
We're living in air conditioning every day.
Yes, and you know, I mean, my oldest daughter, she's got allergies. Mm-hmm. And it's like if the air is not on, I mean, you're talking about, you know, all these changes we're going through being outside. I mean, her being in here in the air conditioning is the only thing that helps. But, you know, I look at, too, I mean, just listening to everything you've said tonight, I mean, I used to worry, and that's one thing in the Bible where it talks about we're not supposed to worry. We're supposed to be putting our trust completely in Him, whether that be the, you know, and I know that that's the all-knowing. You feel where I'm coming from?
Right.
Whether it be God
yes,
or
definitely.
Whoever it is, we all come from one. But, you know, to not worry and because, you know, to me, I think sometimes the universe looks and laughs at us when we're down here. Oh, we need to do this. We need to do that. When we just need to let go and realize everything is a process. I mean, you know, I look at how you talk about with our ancestors and whatnot. I mean, me losing my grandmother, my great-grandmother, I mean, she was just like there was something totally special about her. She never worried. But everything to me has been learning. You know, I was always afraid of dying, which really what I've learned, when we die, the spirit lives on. What this whole death thing is really important about is this all capital letter name. You feel where
right.
I'm coming from? No,
there you
but
go.
Really.
Exactly.
How everybody is looking, how, you know, the churches have put out, you know, like with what I was taught, you know, the resurrection of our dead loved ones. We're not going to recognize them in their same body. It's going to be their spirit. So their spirit is going to be, you know, in a body. You feel where I'm coming from? And I look at
definitely.
I look
I mean,
at,
and it lives on. It
yes.
lives on. I mean, I've experienced it. I've gone through past life regression. I experienced other life. I experienced the life of a soul. It's like, man, and every time I came back to this planet, I felt so heavy. Like, why do I have to come back, you know? But it was for learning because, you know, we didn't want to float up there forever.
Well,
we
you know, let me say,
challenge.
Let me say this too, Joanna. I mean, I know with me, myself, coming up as a child, I mean, just looking back how, I mean, when I was young, my mother cut my hair. It was always about your outward appearance. When really what
right.
I've learned.
Oh,
you
girl,
know,
girl, I got to say, I got 52 seconds left. I'm so sorry.
Oh, Lord, okay. Well, listen, I want to Skype you and talk and catch up because I need to hip you on. You
okay.
need to listen to some of this Rob Ryder. But you, good job
okay,
tonight,
girl.
Darling.
Definitely. I will, definitely. Thank you so much. Well, I got to go here in a few seconds, actually. So get So if you guys want to check out my website, IlluminatingMindsWithAZTherapy.com, or go to my Facebook.com, Joanna Psychic Advisor, and come and check us out next Sunday with Robert Menard as we talk about the sovereignty. And I had a great time talking here with you guys and looking forward to seeing you guys, all right? So take care and watch out for them chemtrails, boy. All right, bye-bye. Love you guys.